Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, it's a Tuesday, September 11th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, today marks the 17th anniversary of September 11th. Americans are commemorating 9/11 with somber tributes, volunteer projects, and a new monument to victims after a year of two attacks demonstrated the enduring threat of terrorism in the nation's biggest city. Thousands of 9/11 victims, relatives, survivors, rescuers, and others are expected at Tuesday's anniversary ceremony at the World Trade Center, while President Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence will head to two other places where hijacked planes crashed on September 11, 2001, in the deadliest terror attack on American soil. The President and First Lady Melania Trump plan to join in observance at the September 11th memorial in a field near Shanksville. Where there's a Tower of Voices. It's a new Tower of Voices was dedicated on Saturday. Pence is attending a ceremony at the Pentagon. Trump, a Republican and native New Yorker, took the occasion of last year's anniversary to issue a stern warning to extremists that Americans cannot be intimidated. Nearly 3,000 people died on the attacks on 9/11 when international terrorism hit home in a way it previously hadn't for many Americans. September 11th still shapes American policy, politics, and everyday experiences in places from airports to office buildings. A New Jersey couple under investigation after a homeless man accused them of dipping into some of the $400,000 in online donations they raised for him is likely to be indicted, their attorney said Monday. Ernest Badway represents Mark D'Amico and Caitlin McClure in a civil case against Johnny Bobbitt. The attorney said in a letter dated Thursday that one or both could be indicted by the Burlington County prosecutor and that he and his firm would no longer represent the couple in the lawsuit involving Bobbitt. Badway petitioned Superior Court Judge Paula Dow to pause the civil case in a letter Thursday, the same day authorities raided the couple's home. The letter came to light Monday when Dow granted the stay in the civil case until December. Since it is expected that one or both of the defendants will likely be indicted, my firm and I will no longer be able to continue our representation of them in this matter, Badway wrote. He declined Monday to comment further. It's unclear if he will represent D'Amico and McClure in a possible criminal proceeding.
As bad as it looked before, it just got exponentially worse with this for them. And you know, they're both looking at indictments, and then you have the civil. I mean, it's a morass of crap that I still earnestly believe in the beginning started for a very good reason.
So absolutely.
Then just spun out.
So the civil case was Bobbitt against the couple? Is that what that
yes,
was?
Yes, that was the civil case. So because of the money issue, obviously.
Right.
And now they've they're going to face charges for misappropriation of funds.
But I was talking to Preston this morning. I don't understand why the lawyer is not representing them. Is he dropping them? Like, what? I mean, and that's all he said. He didn't comment further. But
what I understood it to be is that they had asked for a delay on the civil case because of the pending criminal case. But
he's not necessarily dropping them on the civil case. Maybe he's just not representing them for the criminal case.
Well, yes, that could be it.
Okay. D'Amico and McClure have earlier denied wrongdoing for misusing the cash, which was raised on the GoFundMe account from 14,000 contributors. Bobbitt sued the couple over mismanagement of the funds, and Dow has ordered sworn statements to determine what happened to the cash, which attorneys say is all gone.
So I wonder, so GoFundMe is going to make good on that $400,000. I wonder when he will get that and how he will get that. John Bobbitt.
Well, he's in rehab now, right?
As
of last Friday.
Okay. This is just a wild, wild turn of events. This is going to be a Dateline or like
Casey
2020 episode or something.
My wife was over in Italy last week.
Yeah.
It
was there.
Yeah.
They were reporting. It was making the news there.
Yeah.
The prosecutor's office declined to comment on Badway's letter, but pointed out that no charges have been filed. With mandatory evacuations already issued for parts of three East Coast states, millions of Americans are preparing for what could be one of the worst catastrophic hurricanes to hit the eastern seaboard in decades. Carrying winds up to 140 miles per hour as a Category 4 storm, Hurricane Florence is expected to strengthen and become a Category 5 storm Tuesday. It's then forecast to close in on North or South Carolina on Thursday, hitting a stretch of coastline that's vulnerable to rising sea levels due to climate change. Florence is being forecast to linger over the Carolinas once it reaches shore. Power outages, flooding, and other hazards obviously are expected. The storm center will move between Bermuda and the Bahamas on Tuesday and Wednesday and approach the coast of South Carolina or North Carolina on Thursday, the National Hurricane Center said.
I was watching a couple of stories about this whole thing, and they were talking about the fact that a storm of this intensity has not hit that particular area since Eisenhower was president. So, but they seem to be prepping for it as comprehensively as they can.
As much as you can, yeah. I guess. And then they said that it's not moving too fast. So once it hits, it might linger there.
Well, yeah.
Like with Houston.
Is that what it was? I was talking to Steve about it. It was in Houston.
In fact, if you remember.
It just stalled there. It just stayed.
The amount of rain that fell because it stalled and stayed there. They said the entire city, the weight of the water, the city dropped like in half an inch, three quarters.
Gosh.
It's crazy.
Catastrophic flooding, rainfall, devastating storm surge, and widespread destructive winds are expected in the southeastern United States. As for our area, the Philadelphia region, South Jersey, a high-pressure system could keep Florence to the south, and they're saying that maybe we'll only see a few showers. However, there could be dangerous surf and tidal flooding at the Jersey Shore. In sports this morning... Last night at the ballpark, the game between the Phillies and the Nationals was postponed. It will be played today.
What the f is this?
A single admission doubleheader beginning at 3:05 and all gates open at 2:05. In the first game, Jake Arrieta will get the start. The second game of the series is scheduled for 7:05. Nick Pivetta will start for the Phillies and Tanner Roark for the Nats. In Monday Night Football, the New York Jets beat up on the Lions in Detroit, winning 48-17. In the late game, the LA Rams spoiled John Gruden's return to the Raiders as their head coach, winning 33-13 in Oakland. Keegan Bradley held off Justin Rose in a sudden death playoff to win the rain-soaked BMW Championship yesterday for his first PGA Tour victory in 6 years. Though Rose was runner-up at the FedEx playoff event at Aronimink, he will still become the number one in the world and the 22nd player to reach the top spot since the ranking began in 1986. Bradley shot a final round 6-under-64 to finish at 20 under par. Rose could have won in regulation, but lipped out on the last hole to force the playoff. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you, Kathy. Tuesday morning, slowly inching our way through the work week. And we're going to get there, friends. I guarantee you that. We're also going to give away our Word of the Week prize on Friday, which is 4-pack tickets MMA Pro League at the Hard Rock Casino in Atlantic City on Saturday. And 2 rooms, some food vouchers, meet and greets, and pictures in the cage and that whole thing. So we'll do the letter at the end of today's program and get you closer to winning that. We also have a guest stopping by today. It will be... Mr. Craig Gass, comedian extraordinaire. Yes, he does amazing impressions. Very funny guy. Huge sports fan.
Yes, yeah.
And, he is going to be in Atlantic City, as we mentioned that, at Howie Mandel's Comedy Club tonight through Thursday. So Craig's going to stop in around 9 o'clock this morning. We also are going to give somebody a free tattoo today. It is Tattoos Day. And listener Morgan is coming in. And we'll see what she ends up getting. We'll do that live on the air, find out what that's all about. Other than that, business as usual, some movie passes. We have another screening tonight. I could go ahead and give away 3 of these right now to White Boy Rick. And Matthew McConaughey is the star of that film. It opens on Friday, and we have the screening tonight at the UA King of Prussia. 7 o'clock is when that is, so you need to be there by 6:30. So, 3 callers at 215-263 WMMR. Right now, we'll start our giveaways.
It's based on a true story, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to see it.
What's it about? I
don't know.
It's about this kid, Rick, who is growing up, I believe, somewhere in the Detroit area, and he becomes a drug dealer. And he becomes very successful at it.
Doesn't he become also like an informant for the authorities as well?
I don't know. He might.
It's supposed to be very compelling.
Yeah. So we got that screening tonight. We'll get you on board. I'll have more of those passes to give away later on during the program. Let's take a quick break. Come back in a second. We'll do another giveaway with a stupid question. And the entertainment report is coming up, too. Back in a minute. Oh, I forgot.
Oh, my God. We danced until the night became a brand new day.
Yeah, we'll be back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. What better way to get back into the swing of things than with a relaxing massage or rejuvenating facial? With 50 locations right in this area, you're sure to find a relaxing spa experience. Introductory services are just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready for love? Well, if you're in love and you're ready to get engaged, visit Steven Singer at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. His Ready for Love collection of engagement rings are ready to go and ship immediately for free, all at the perfect price. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Are my testicles black?
So we're going to do a stupid question and give away a case of Yards Brawler 16-ounce pounder cans. If you can answer this question, you're at least 21 years of age. This word means monster in Yiddish and is derived from a German word that means terror or fright. What is the word we're looking for? 215-263-WMMR. This word means monster in Yiddish and is derived from a German word that means terror or fright. 215-263-WMMR.
I like that.
Call right now. And we're going to go through the birthdays today while we're waiting for your answer. Today is Tuesday, September 11th. Celebrating a birthday today is Harry Connick Jr. And Harry is celebrating his 51st birthday.
We had him in the studio a while back while his talk show was still on the air. It's since been canceled.
It has been canceled. Okay.
And he was great. And
he's a nice guy.
Always heard, yeah, that he could. And then some people said it could be really difficult and blah, blah, blah. He was really great while he was in the studio.
He was nice. I didn't care for his talk show too much. I watched it a little bit and it was just.
It was trying to be very Ellen-esque.
Yeah. And nobody does it but Ellen.
Yeah.
You know, she's the one who can do it. So unfortunately, it didn't work out for him. But I'm a fan of his music, man. When Harry Met Sally came out, I absolutely fell in love with that soundtrack.
And oh, yeah.
That wasn't the first time I had heard of him. I had seen him, a couple of videos of him playing piano. I'm like, A, this guy's got a great voice. B, he's a really good piano player. And was a fan from that moment on.
So he was back on the reboot of Will and Grace, too. He came on for a couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's 51 today. Taraji P. Henson.
Yeah, we love her.
Actress, I do love her. Yep. Lots of great TV shows and movies.
Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures, she was wonderful in.
And she plays Cookie on Empire.
Correct. Is that still on?
Yeah, is that still on?
I believe it is. I disconnected after midway through the second season.
Yeah, a lot of people felt that the first season was out of the park awesome.
Really dug it.
And then people started to kind of wane. I know it still has an audience, but its initial success was kind of dwarfed how it's been doing, from what I understand. But I'm a fan. I like her. She's 48 years old today. Brian De Palma, the director, movies like Carrie and Dressed to Kill and Scarface, The Untouchables, Mission Impossible.
He's got a really good style. Some of his stuff is great. Some of the stuff not so great. But, he's always a compelling director.
Yep,
he was married to, was it Nancy Allen? Who was it? The bitchy girl in Carrie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that actress.
Was she in RoboCop? That Allen?
Yes, okay. I think it's Nancy Allen, right?
Yes.
Well, they have Joan Allen and then Nancy Allen and their sisters.
There's also Karen Allen.
Karen Allen. Pistade.
Yes.
Pistade.
No, Karen. Not that one. It'd be Nancy Allen, I think.
Okay. Karen Pistade Allen.
Casey will always know her. It's the bizarre word that she said in the middle of the shot contest where they're drinking shots back and forth, and she's about to pass out, and she screams, Pistade.
I wish I knew.
I wish I could quit it.
I wish I knew, A, what that meant.
Yes.
And B, if that's actually what she was saying.
All right.
Because what I hear is Pistade.
Anybody speak Nepalese? Maybe they don't. Because it took place in Nepal, did it not?
Yeah, darn Nepalese coins. So, Steve, back to your original point.
Yes.
He was married to Nancy Allen.
Nancy Allen.
In the late 70s.
Not anymore.
Pistade.
Pistade. It was the toast. They made it his wedding.
And by the way, a Pistade to all of you this morning joining us on the show. Go back to Nancy Allen's page. Has she done anything in recent memory besides Indiana Jones?
And RoboCop. No, Nancy Allen was not in Indiana Jones. That was Karen Allen.
Oh, this is the RoboCop.
Yeah, this is RoboCop. Like, Nancy Allen was in RoboCop.
Initially, I thought it was Indiana Jones.
God damn, there's two. And what about Woody Allen, their brother?
So she's doing a lot of work in the environmental field, and also she's an activist against breast cancer. I was going to say for breast cancer.
She's really has a... an uphill battle with that one.
She's against it.
I'm looking at her. Yeah, the last thing she did was in 2012.
Okay.
Which she was a narrator or something before that, 2008. So she really doesn't do much on screen anymore. But I always kind of liked her. Yeah. Anyway, it's not her birthday. It's Brian De Palma's. And Brian De Palma is 78 today.
And loving life.
Virginia Madsen, I just love her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Had a bit of a crush on her in her younger days. And she is so damn good in Sideways. Oh, man.
She's really great in Sideways. She's also naked a lot in a movie called The Hot Spot with Don Johnson and Jennifer Connelly. You ever see that? It's a steamy southern sort of murder mystery.
I need to see that.
You need to see that.
Sister of Michael Madsen,
yes,
by the way.
Yes. Thank God she doesn't look like him.
She's 57. And Steve, she's in the movie Dune, but
yes,
she doesn't speak at all. Actually, no, she's the narrator of a lot of parts. They show her, but she never has any speaking roles. In the book, it all comes from her point of view.
Yeah.
But she's the princess, I believe. She's 57 today. And then Amy Madigan. Field of Dreams, Uncle Buck, Carnival. She was in that as well.
She was also in Places in the Heart and married to Ed Harris, yes?
That I don't know. But I know, Steve, that she was also in Streets of Fire.
Oh, my God.
If you recall.
You know, that role was originally...
Bring that up every now and then.
Yeah, the role was originally written for a guy, and she said, I think I could do this, and they went with it.
No kidding.
She's 68, and the last birthday we bring up as a guy, I had the opportunity, the pleasure, the honor to actually jam with here in the studio, legendary bassist Victor Wooten. The Wooten Brothers and more is 54 years old today.
One of my favorite days. We had all of them, or at least most of them, here in the studio playing.
The whole family, yeah.
And it was phenomenal.
Yeah, they were great. It was really, really cool. He's 54, so happy birthday to Mr. Victor Wooten.
One last birthday is my brother-in-law Dave's birthday. Everett, you know, Kathy, he owns a shop in your hometown of Conshohocken, Hometown Auto.
Yeah. Yes. Great guy. He was in RoboCop.
Yeah. You know, that dude has a gun in his leg, Steve. Did you know that?
It's amazing. It's astonishing.
So just a happy birthday to
him. Birthday, Dave.
He's a nice guy. He's fixed a few of my cars.
Yes.
All right, let's see if we can find the answer to this question. This word means monster in Yiddish and is derived from a German word that means terror or fright. 215-263-WMMR, the number. And I am going to go to... let's go to John. Hey, John, good morning, sir. John.
Oh, boy.
Is your name? Yeah, is your name John?
My name's Stu.
Hey, Stu.
Oh, Jesus.
For the purposes of this phone call, we'll refer to you as John, Stu.
Awesome.
And by the way, somebody just spelled his name S-T-E-W, as in the food.
Well, some people spell it that way.
Do they really?
Like Stuart.
Stuart.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So I always thought it was S-T-U.
It is.
You learn stuff.
S-T-U.
Like Stu Bykofsky.
Stuart. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do me a favor, Stu, and tell me the name of the word that it means monster in Yiddish.
Is it Farzinish?
No, it is not.
Oh. All of that.
I'm so glad you lost.
For nothing.
I know.
Okay. Hey, is your name John?
This is John.
Yay! The odds were in our favor.
I'll bet you've got the right answer, John. What is it?
Is it Shrek?
It's Shrek, yeah. Yay! Hang on a second. We'll call you Stu. John, we are going to give you a case of Yardage Brawler 16-ounce pounder cans. Yardage Brawler beer is 4.2 ABV, perfect for sessioning festively in the autumn air.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up some at Bound Beverages on Easton Road in Warrington.
Well, there was an animated monster named Shrek,
Why,
Preston.
There was, Steve. Exactly. Monster.
Shrek. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's where you get it from. All right, so the embattled CBS CEO Les Moonves exited the network Sunday night after a second wave of sexual misconduct allegations broke against him. We talked about that yesterday. Ronan Farrow issued a report that included allegations from six new women who say Moonves harassed or abused them. Now, after issuing a report on Sunday's development, CBS This Morning co-host Nora O'Donnell and John Dickerson actually addressed the issue on Monday. How can you not do
it's
that?
Their boss, but they're reporting on the news. Exactly. You can't skip a story.
Yeah, so O'Donnell said, this is really hard. It is. It's hard for everybody in CBS News. She said the most powerful media executive in America has now resigned because of the Me Too movement, and he's my boss, or he was my boss, so that makes it really hard to comment on it. Les has always treated me fairly and with respect.
So remember, her co-host was, you know,
Charlie Rose.
Charlie Rose. He had to leave.
Yeah.
Her boss had to resign for the same thing.
Yeah. So she continued by saying, but here's what I said back then, and I think it still holds. And I want to say it again. There's no excuse for this alleged behavior. It's systematic. It is pervasive in our culture. And this is this I know is true to the core of my being. Women cannot achieve equality in the workplace or society until there is a reckoning and a taking of responsibility. So I'm really proud to work here at CBS News. This has hurt morale, but there are some really, really good people that come to work every single day as a journalist. I'm confident that the truth is going to come out because this is being investigated. And there are two prominent investigations going on by some really good lawyers. This has to end. The story will continue.
Well, the network certainly has been tarnished, and they're now renaming the Big Bang Theory the consensual adults theory.
Are they?
Yeah.
CBS has named COO Joseph Ianello as acting CEO while the board searches for a full-time replacement.
This is so, you know, he's so he's Weinstein-esque, Les Moonves was at CBS, a major, major player when he was working for Lorimar. He was the one who gave the go-ahead to ER and a few other classic television shows.
Mm-hmm.
But
ER was on CBS or on NBC.
I know. Yeah, but he worked for Lorimar and a few other. So, he then became the muckety-muck at CBS. But it's just huge.
He's a Bucknell University graduate.
No kidding.
Yep.
CBS will not pay Moonves severance benefits until the investigation into him is completed. If he is absolved of guilt, he'll walk away with $120 million, according to reports.
So I did a fairly deep dive on that article, that Ronan Farrow article about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Disgusting. The guy's just a... if this is true, these allegations...
Really?
Didn't matter who the woman was, from a doctor who was, you know, there to check him out, to Ileana Douglas, who is a screenwriter and an mm-hmm. actress and a comp. It didn't matter who it was, up and down the line. He would do the old, here's my dong, what are we going to do about it thing.
Here, he actually discusses
allegedly
that, the doctor thing. What?
Yeah, allegedly. All this is alleged. None of it's been proven. These are the allegations.
Well, he said the appalling allegations about my conduct toward a female physician some 20 years ago are untrue. What is true and what I deeply regret is that I tried to kiss the doctor. Nothing more happened, he says. So he did admit to that. And that's what he's...
I kiss my doctor all the time.
It's only what he says.
Yeah, Dr.
Mike.
Dr. Mike.
Well, he kisses me.
You know what he does?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a kiss from Dr. Mike. I have a couple of clips to play. The cast of The Talk speaks about it because Julie Chen was not on there. That's her husband. And this is them speaking about that.
I've never been nervous in my life, but I'm kind of very nervous right now.
Just because this hits close to home, it doesn't change this story. All women's stories matter.
He's not been convicted of any crime, but obviously the man has a problem.
But today we say enough is enough.
And then Sharon Osbourne, you heard in that, addresses him directly in this. Here we go.
Now, after 7 more women have come out, mm-hmm. the stories are so similar, the pattern is so similar, mm-hmm. that for me, he's not been convicted of any crime, but obviously the man has a problem.
Well, it doesn't address him directly, but speaks about him. So, his wife, Julie Chen, who has supported him publicly, is taking time off from The Talk. And she issued a statement saying that she would appear on Big Brother this Thursday. She said, I'm taking a few days off from The Talk to be with my family. I'll be back soon, and we'll see you Thursday night on Big Brother.
So think of that collateral damage. So he's got kids, mm-hmm. you know, the wife. High-profile wife.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The whole deal.
Yep.
All these people, you know.
Exactly. All right, so that story will develop, of course. Here's another one, an unfortunate story as well. Olivia Newton-John has been diagnosed with cancer for the third time in 3 decades. The
first 2 times, what, breast cancer?
No, she had a tumor on her back.
Okay.
So she said, I'm one of millions in this fight, in this journey. She explained, she's 69 years old. She was on a talk show in Australia. She said, a lot of people see it as a fight. She said, however you choose to see it, she said, that's your prerogative. I see it as part of my mission. She says, doctors found a tumor in her lower back in 2017. And she said, I'm still treating it, and I'm treating it naturally and doing really well, she said, adding that she'd cut sugar out of her diet. gone through radiation and is treating the pain with cannabis oil. Now, I don't know what kind of cancer the first time they found on her was, but the second time was this tumor in her back in 2017.
Okay, yeah, it's sort of at the base of her spine, right?
It just says in her lower back.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. She said, a lot of cannabis. My husband, John, grows for me. In California, it's legal to grow a certain amount of plants for your own medicinal purposes. He makes me tinctures. Is that how you say that?
Tinctures.
Tinctures.
Like oils and salves and stuff.
And they help with the pain and they help with sleep. So I'm very lucky that I live in a state where it's legal and that I have a husband that is a plant medicine man. Newton John adds that she hopes Australia and other places will legalize medicinal marijuana for all the cancer patients and people going through cancer or any kind of disease that causes pain, she says. So hopefully she'll work her way through this one.
That'd be great.
Yep. Steve, to your point, apparently it was breast cancer and then it returned and metastasized in her lower back.
Okay. Jeez.
Ben Affleck got a visit from his rumored girlfriend, Playboy model Shauna Sexton, on Sunday as he completes his stint in rehab.
I'm surprised they let that happen.
Right? Meet?
I mean, don't they sort of want you to...
You're not in prison.
Right.
And they want you to meet, obviously, with loved ones. I didn't know they were close enough that was the, you know.
Well, she was the lost weekend party girl. Well, not that she was a party girl, but she was with him along on that lost weekend that prompted the whole thing into rehab in the first place.
Right.
Not to say that she's, you know, a nefarious force. Yeah, an enabler.
The 22-year-old was spotted leaving his Lux Malibu treatment center wearing skin-hugging jeans and a cropped white T-shirt.
Your girlfriend's awesome.
The 46-year-old Affleck has been in rehab for 3 weeks after Jennifer Garner staged an intervention, of course, and drove him there. Prior to entering rehab, Affleck and Sexton, an avowed whiskey lover, by the way, were spotted out on the town. While she has publicly denied drinking in front of Affleck, he was photographed accepting a large delivery of hard alcohol and beer days before his return to rehab. Sexton has been spotting driving Affleck's Ford SUV around town, and she has reportedly been at his home when he goes there to work out with a trainer there during the day.
Well, she feeds his fish.
She does?
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice of her. Sterling K. Brown wants Olivia Munn to know that she's not alone. On Saturday, Munn told The Hollywood Reporter that she didn't feel supported after she criticized Predator director Shane Black for casting his friend Steven Wilder Stryger in the film. She got upset when she found out Stryger's a registered sex offender and was angry that Black never told the cast.
Especially because she acts directly with him in a scene.
Yeah, she said, it's not an easy thing to be the one to speak up. There are people who get mad at you for not helping them bury it. She shared this during an interview, which was conducted at the Toronto International Film Festival, where the movie had premiered. She said, it's a very lonely feeling to be sitting here by myself when I should be sitting here with the rest of the cast. And Brown spoke out in a series of Twitter messages after hearing her lament, saying, I'm sorry that you're feeling so isolated. He wrote in a series of Twitter messages, and I'm sorry that you've been the only one to speak up publicly. Brown, who didn't attend the festival, said there are two main issues as far as I see it. First, what is and is not forgivable. I don't have all the details regarding his friend's crime, but I know it involves a minor and he spent time in jail. With regards to forgiveness, I leave that to the individual.
On an entirely different note, and this picture really reminds me of what I've been thinking for quite a while, Olivia Munn needs to knock it off with the lip stuff. Look at this picture here.
Oh. What? You think they're too big?
They're too big. They look ridiculous. She's a beautiful woman. Why would you do that?
The actor continued by saying, what I take issue with is that we all have the right to know who we're working with. They ended up deleting the scene that he was in with Olivia Munn.
It was a short scene anyway.
Yeah,
not critical to the plot.
Yep. Yep. Lily Aldridge. This is Caleb Followell's from Kings of Leon. That's his wife. Mm-hmm. She sported a chic accessory at New York Fashion Week.
What was it?
Well, it was, she was walking the Brandon Maxwell runway in a backless red dress and a just visible baby bump.
Ooh.
And
so she had a baby put in for the event.
So she wrote, so proud to walk the runway 5 months pregnant. I've walked few runways in my life.
I haven't.
This is a moment that I'll look back on forever with great emotion. I got to walk the runway at our,
the
Bitch Box event.
What'd you think?
It was exhilarating.
Whoever was doing your announcing was phenomenal.
Yes, they were. Aldridge wrote, thank you, Brandon, for letting me shine and being such a true gentleman. Love you forever. In August, she had announced that she and Caleb Followell are expecting their second child. So she went out and debuted her baby bump on the runway.
She's glowing.
After 6 years of marriage, Brandon Jenner and his wife, Leah Felder, are calling it quits. I don't even know who Brandon Jenner is. I never watched the show. Was he featured on Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
I know Brody.
This Brody.
That's the only Jenner I really knew.
Brandon might be, one of them. Who the hell knows? Who cares?
He's 37 years old, so, he's full-grown
adult.
Even
I lose track.
Yeah, 37.
All I know is he came out of my uterus.
No, he didn't.
No. He didn't?
No.
Aw.
The 37-year-old son of Caitlyn Jenner and Linda Thompson.
I remember the night I gave birth. I unzipped my uterus and I uncoupled the pneumatic gears.
I'm fairly certain you don't even have a uterus.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn it.
So they announced the sad news on Instagram.
Well, they were all very supportive of Caitlyn. In a couple of specials leading up to it, the family seemed to be behind him. They just don't get along that well with the Kardashians.
I guess there's a spinoff show called The Princes of Malibu, and Brody and Brandon were the Jenner boys were on that.
Okay. Sounds phenomenal.
Yeah.
Well, Brandon and Leah have been together for 14 years and no longer.
Just one big happy family. When everyone comes home for Thanksgiving, it's a joy.
They called it quits, so it's over with. James Vanderbeek revealed that during their journey toward parenthood, his wife of 8 years, Kimberly Brooke, suffered three miscarriages.
What a bunch of sad news today.
Yeah, I know. He said, wanted to say a thing or two about miscarriages, of which we've had three over the years, including right before this little beauty. He had captioned a photo with his newborn daughter, Gwendolyn. He wrote, first off, we need a new word for it. Miscarriage is an insidious way suggest fault for the mother as if she dropped something or failed to carry. I don't believe that.
No.
A miss is like an accident or,
I don't know.
Misgivings, it's used in many words. It's
I don't think you can blame anybody, but that's what it is.
It's what it's called, but.
Yeah, but miss is, there's one S, so like a misstep, a mistake. It means mistake or so. Anyway. So he said that from what I've learned, in all but most obvious extreme cases, it has nothing to do with anything the mother did or didn't do. So let's wipe all the blame off the table before we even start. It will tear you open like nothing else. It's painful. It's heartbreaking on levels deeper than you have ever experienced.
There are a couple of miscarriages between me and my older brother. So I was after a few.
Yeah. My mom had one.
I worked my way through.
Before me.
Yeah.
There wouldn't have been you. Yeah. And there wouldn't have been you.
Mm-hmm. I think there was going to be a Bart, believe it or not, prior to me. So
wow.
it's kind of interesting to think about that. You know?
So he said, so don't judge your grief or try to rationalize your way around it. Let it flow in waves in which it comes and allow it to the rightful place.
James Vanderbeek is right.
And then once you're able, try to recognize the beauty in how you put yourself back together differently than you were before. They have five kids together, by
five.
The way. Five? Yeah, Gwendolyn, who's 3 months, Olivia, who is seven, Joshua, six, Annabelle, Leah, four, and Amelia, two. So they have a full house there.
And I approve of all those names.
Yeah, those are nice.
I'm sure he takes great comfort in knowing that I approve of all of them.
Gwendolyn, Olivia, Joshua, Annabelle, Lee, and Amelia. Celebrity chef Jamie Oliver is being toasted after he nabbed an intruder who invaded his home.
Really?
Yeah, he reportedly chased the suspect into the street, pinned him, and waited for the police to arrive. Yeah. The 43-year-old lives on a Tony Street in Highgate, North London, near Kate Moss.
Huh.
And the suspect reportedly tried to break into the model's home before targeting his.
He was cooking at the time, Preston, and he attached two celery sticks together with a piece of spaghetti and turned them into nunchucks.
Wow. That guy's talented.
He's incredibly talented.
So good on him, man, for being able to stop
that guy. I like
him. Yeah. While all eyes were on John Legend, Tim Rice, and Andrew Lloyd Webber for their triple EGOT achievement.
Isn't that wild?
For their work on NBC's Jesus Christ Superstar Live in Concert. The late Anthony Bourdain won 5 Creative Arts Emmys Sunday for his work on Anthony Bourdain Parts Unknown, including the prize for Outstanding Writing for a Nonfiction Program. RuPaul Charles also took home several for RuPaul's Drag Race, including his 3rd Outstanding Host for a reality Competition Program Award. Queer Eye nabbed Outstanding Structured Reality Program and Outstanding Casting for a Reality Program as well.
Gotta tell you that RuPaul is a master of tuckage. I don't know. Right? Some of the stuff.
You know who's going off?
Warren is amazing.
On what an awesome person RuPaul is.
Who?
Henry Rollins.
Really?
He has a special on Showtime right now. It's a, you know, it's an hour long stand up of him, spoken word and comedy and stuff. And he was going on and on and on. He and RuPaul are really good friends.
Well, if you remember when Jan was at her lowest, RuPaul stepped in and
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the Brady Bunch movie. Yeah. So anyhow, winning some awards. Let's see what else I have here for you. For fans of The Chew, and I didn't know The Chew was going off the air, that this new Good Morning America thing took over its spot.
Oh. So wait a second.
Chew is done.
What in the F?
Yeah, I kind of like The Chew.
Yeah, maybe it'll get picked up somewhere else. I don't know.
Here's what they're going to do. So Carla Hall is running returning to the small screen. Can you pull up Carla Hall? Because I don't know all the hosts on that show and who they are, Nick, real quick. Because, I love this girl. She's a lot of fun. We just pulled up a picture of her. But she will be appearing on the GMA, or she did appear on the premiere of GMA Day yesterday to take viewers through the process of making a wine can chicken recipe.
So GMA Day now is in the spot that The Chew was in?
Yeah, it says GMA Day is the third hour of Good Morning America on ABC and was created to replace The Chew.
Okay, so but it's happening well after GMA is off the air.
What The Chew does?
Yeah, so GMA Day.
Right. So it's not. It's not one of the hours of the Good Morning America broadcast. It happens in the afternoon.
They should just call it GAA. Yeah. Good Afternoon America.
You know what they should call it is Live with Michael and Kelly, because the girl they got looks exactly like Kelly Ripa.
So Michael Strahan and Sarah Haynes is her name. They host, and The Chew was canceled in May after 8 seasons. I didn't even know that. I had no idea.
Maybe I would have watched it.
So wait, what time is that on then?
It would be 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock,
because when usually I'm wrapping up my day.
What else is on at 1 o'clock? Listen, I would love it if they just put that right in.
There's
place.
There's a great Bowflex ad on the Home Shopping Channel.
No, I would love for them to put it in place.
And
Steve
a lot of
Harvey.
Lawyers telling you about why you have a claim to make. Steve, I don't know.
It used to be soap operas that follow the new news.
What, Steve? The Steve Harvey Show or the Steve Harvey?
The show.
Okay,
I can't stand it. I really. Although you listen, he started to grow a beard, which kind of like covers up the fact that his mustache is terrible. Because that mustache.
His mustache is a solid. It's one solid.
It looks like a fake
mustache. Hair. Yeah.
It looks like a fake mustache.
It looks like G.I. Joe hair.
So he's grown a beard. I just don't like his show. Okay. I don't care for it at all. And it always seems to be on whenever I turn my TV on. I'm like, ugh.
I don't like any of that programming at all. That midday programming. I just don't like
it. It's always. But let's stop and think about it. When you're watching it, you're usually sick.
Yeah.
Right?
Good point.
Yes.
So they're by association.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Speaking of beards, there are now three, if you include Steve Harvey, new beards on television. Steve Harvey, Colbert, and Alex Trebek is growing a beard as well.
Is he really? Oh, not growing. It's in like a mofo. Okay.
Get out.
Did you see it last night?
No. Yeah.
So, okay. So
on Jeopardy, Alex Trebek also has a beard.
That is interesting.
It looks good, however.
I think it looks good.
I was watching a documentary about Alex Trebek, and his wife prefers him without the hair, but he grew it in. And he's a very regal.
Yeah.
Debonair looking guy.
Agreed.
Colbert's makes him look older.
It does. Now, Alex Trebek, though, you know, if you watch, I was watching the special. Alex Trebek in his day got a lot. I mean, he was a good looking guy.
He's a pee hound?
They call him pee hound.
He reminds me of a Jim Gardner type, believe it or not.
Well, to that end, he's speaking or moderating the Pennsylvania Senate debate or gubernatorial debate. There's some
Trebek.
Local debate that's coming up that he will be the moderator for.
I could see him being a very good moderator. Yeah. I mean, so. All right, anyhow, one last story. It's from a couple days ago, but I didn't get a chance to. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences is rethinking the addition of a popular film category to the Oscars after the idea proved to be largely unpopular. And the statement said, there has been a wide range of reactions to the introduction of a new award, and we recognize the need for further discussion with our members. This Academy
now
CEO,
the award for movies that idiots like.
Academy CEO Dawn Hudson in a statement Thursday. I was originally kind of okay with this because you don't see movies that us idiots like.
I know.
Like the Marvel franchises and so forth, which are just gigantic money makers and getting any kind of recognition. And there's some decent stuff that takes place in those movies.
Absolutely. A, B, many of them are critical successes as well, but they're automatically dismissed. But I think what happens is, and as I was reading more about this, in a way it's like it's saying, yes, the Academy sometimes can't get out of their way and goes for these movies that no one has seen, and they would like some people to be interested when the Academy Awards presentation takes place.
Right.
And have people actually have seen some of the movies.
Yeah.
So instead of that, why not incorporate some of these films into that list of nine movies?
Yeah, but listen, those movies are being recognized just in different categories. They're being recognized for, you know, sound
special effects and
special effects and all that stuff. Yes. I would like to take a look at the Best Picture nominees for the last, you know, few years and go, okay, if the Avengers, for instance, Preston, is so unbelievable and so, well, let's take a look at what you have over here and let you know, all right, why is this any more believable than...
What was last year?
In the Avengers. I can't remember.
You want to see if some of the plot lines are ridiculous as far as reality. Well, The Shape of Water.
Shape of Water.
There you go.
That was last year.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was.
So why?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I don't know either.
So. The Academy announced in August that it intended to add a new category for achievement in popular film in hopes that it would open the door to movies that might otherwise be overlooked in the Best Picture category. In announcing the move, the Academy left key questions unaddressed, however, particularly how a movie would earn the distinction of being a so-called popular film and whether a movie could be nominated in both the popular film and Best Picture categories, which I understand that's a little confusing.
What are the judging parameters?
Right. Yeah.
Is it based on box office? How do you determine popularity?
Yeah, because I thought Logan. Oh, what the hell is that guy's name?
Hugh Jackman.
Dude, for Logan, he should have been nominated for a Best
Actor. That was a hell of a performance. I'll tell you, also should have been nominated. Patrick Stewart in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. So a lot of people had commented, including celebrities. I'll give you one. Rob Lowe criticized the move. He said the film business passed away today with the announcement of the popular film Oscar. It had been in poor health for a number of years. It has survived by sequels, tentpoles, and vertical integration. So a lot of people weren't happy about it, so they rethought it, and it looks like they're not going to do it. Now, the Academy's decision to extend honors to so-called popular films is largely considered a play for more viewers for the TV show.
Exactly.
And the most watched telecast in Oscars history was in 1998 when Titanic won. So they want to go back to the old
over there.
I'm scrolling back through the Best Picture nominees and wins, and the last one that looks like it was a blockbuster in the box office and then won Best Picture was Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
And that was, you know, one of those deals where it was like, right, like after they won, it was kind of like, well, this was just sort of like a nod to all three movies.
It happens all the time where the movie that should have won doesn't win, and so they do a make good on another film and say, all right, here we finally recognize.
You can't do that, though.
Yep. All right, we're ready for clips.
Yay.
Here we go. The brand new fantasy drama The Outpost has started to grow a cult following. Here, actor Anand Desai Barocia.
Oh, knock it off.
Talks about how fans of this genre differ from others. Here we go.
The fandom for sci-fi fantasy is quite insane and quite incredible because you don't really get that with different genres of, say, if you're watching like a rom-com or something like that, you won't really see the interaction as much.
You sound insane.
The Outpost is on tonight at 9 on the CW. Here's the next clip. The Purge has made its way to television with a 10-episode series following characters from all walks of life. In this clip, producer Jason Blum talks about how producing the show is different from the films.
The TV series gives us the real estate to delve into how people's behavior changes when there's a purge once a year, and that's been a really fun, creative thing to get to do.
Shut the
New episode of The Purge airs tonight, 10 on USA. I don't know about this.
The pre-word on it is that it's very good. Yeah. I have I've gotten enough of the Purge environment that I as much as I need. The three films took care of it for me.
Yeah.
I didn't see the
fourth.
I'd like to see the fourth because it was a kind of a prequel.
It was a prequel. It was the first Purge.
Oh, it yeah. is?
Yes. Okay. It was Purge Spring Break.
We talked about this. I enjoy the movies, but it gets a little dorky and corny when, you know, people are out in the street.
We're going to come to get
you. I am going to kill you, but... I'm gonna purge.
I'm gonna purge your ass right back.
That's why I didn't bother with the third one. I thought the second one was great.
Well,
I had enough.
Frank Grillo, second one. Yeah. Frank Grillo, and the third one.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
And it's you know, and the first one with Ethan Hawke.
Yeah,
solid. It just took place in one house though, mm-hmm. and once they expanded out on the street with the other two Purge movies, then I really enjoyed it.
All right, that's what I have in the entertainment roundup for you. We're going to take a break. Our buddy Craig Gass is going to be here this morning. He's performing in Atlantic City at Howie Mandel's Comedy Club. That is at the Hard Rock Casino. So we'll say hello to him. Tattoos Day taking place. I've got an update on our Calendar Girl search. I'll tell you about that when we get back, too. Stay with us. We'll return shortly.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Greta Van Fleet. Smashing Pumpkins. Dorothy.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
So I want to mention this, that we are indeed getting prepared to shoot our Preston and Steve Totally Office calendar for 2019. And we're going to put this out there one more time and put a deadline on it. If anyone is interested in being in our calendar, you have until this Friday to get us the information about you and the photos that we need to take a look at. And it's very simple to do. You can go just go to WMMR.com or PrestonandSteve.com, either one, and you will see a link to it just says you could be a Totally Office calendar girl. Click on that, fill out the information, send the pictures to us, and we'll see if you make it in. So Friday is when the deadline is, and we're getting excited about it. It's only a few weeks away before we're actually going to start shooting.
Right, and it's not uncommon that someone submits for 1 year, we hold on to the pictures, and then they end up in the following year.
It can happen.
It does happen.
So just giving you a heads up on that. So yesterday, I went home. I decided to... Monday's usually not like a nap day for me, but I'd...
it's your manic Monday.
Yeah, I'd woken up at 3 a.m. instead of 4 when I normally wake up, and I couldn't get back to sleep. So I was a little tired yesterday, so I'm like, you know what? I'll go home. I'll lay down for a little bit and then get up and go about my day, whatever had to be done around the house. So I laid down around, I don't know, 2:15 or something like that. Woke up at 3. I got up out of bed, and as soon as I got up, I was lightheaded, and you know that...
Yeah, that rush when you stand up, sure. And you're like, oh, okay, let me get my bearings, and then it usually comes back within a few seconds.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it didn't come back in a few seconds, and I was dizzy. I walked to the bathroom, stayed dizzy, walked back out of there, was still dizzy, went back in, sat down for a moment to see if it went away. It didn't, and I everywhere I was walking, I'm like, if I would actually look down at the ground, I got real dizzy.
Like you're going to fall.
Like I was going to fall.
Yeah. So at this point, you're probably starting to panic a little bit, right?
A little bit. This had happened to me about a month ago. I woke up in the middle of the night to use the restroom, and the whole time it was as if I had been, you know, like a little kid spinning around, making myself dizzy. And I couldn't get my bearings. Well, that time, about a month ago, it was in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning.
You just figured you were groggy.
Whatever. So I went back to sleep, and I woke up, and I felt fine. I was like, that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Well, this lasted for 3 hours.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And I had to go run an errand, and I'm like, Rochelle, I can't drive. Like, I do not trust myself. I was bumping into walls.
Well, wow. Good for you for being able to make that call.
There was no way I was going to drive.
Yeah, yeah.
I was getting a little bit scared for you because we had talked on the, we had a conference call every night and we were talking. I'm like, because something similar happened to a friend of mine a few years back where he was just standing there and then all of a sudden he went like vertigo. He's like, whoa. And you could see it in his eyes. I got to sit down and it never went away. And nothing catastrophic was going on with him, but something was going on with him. So that's why I said, call Dr. Mike.
But do you remember what happened to your friend?
Yes, there was something.
His head fell off.
No, his head did not fall off. Listen, what I know is that there was a diagnosis.
Okay.
Um,
like a tumor or something?
No.
Okay.
He's fine.
Okay.
He's totally... There was a diagnosis. There was something that was...
Do you
not
want to say what it is?
No. No, I can't remember.
He just doesn't remember.
It's probably what you're talking about. Because you explained to me something I'd never heard before.
Yeah.
Dr. Mike did know what it was.
Yeah, I had a concern as well. I'm like, immediately, I think brain tumor. Great.
Well, no one wants to be walking around in a state of constant vertigo.
Yeah. So I got in touch with Mike. I texted him. He called me back immediately, which was great. And he goes, it sounds like you have benign positional vertigo. And
thank God it leads with benign.
And, exactly.
Good. Benign? Okay.
Good word to start
yes.
with.
Yes.
And, of course, Mike would know immediately what it was. And he goes, he told me that it's essentially these stones that are in your ear canal. And this is him explaining it in layman's terms. And I'm sure there's a much more detailed and specific way you can describe it.
The old ear canal stones.
But it's like he described it like kidney stones, kind of, but in your ears. And where your, what he said was your gyroscopes are, your gyros, which keep you oriented.
That makes total sense.
And he said that there's a thing called the, it's called the...
Vagina.
No, not the vagina.
Oh, did that help you?
Well, it always helps. Okay.
Vagina.
No, it was a thing called the Elpy maneuver. He goes, I want you to look it up. Go look up the Elpy maneuver and try it out. And I was going to text him back today, but there's no need to do it because he's calling right now.
There you go.
So let's get our good friend and physician... Personal physicians from Fox 29 and Penn Medicine, Dr. Mike Sirico.
Yay!
He's online. Hey, Dr. Mike.
I was going to call during the break and see how you were feeling.
Well, I told Steve about it this morning. He's like, I've never heard of this. We got
to
talk about
it. We have to talk about it, yeah.
Yeah,
so.
Go ahead.
So you have what I think, because I've examined you in the past and you don't have anything horrible, something called benign positional vertigo. It's very, very common, and it's caused usually by what's called an otolith, which is a little pebble in one of your semicircular canals. Those are the canals inside the brain that allow you to be balanced and have the ability to stand up straight.
So it helps you maintain your equilibrium.
Right.
Okay.
And if you have a little pebble, it stimulates these little hair cells, and you go crazy, and you have what's called vertigo. That's where the world is spinning around.
Uh-huh.
And there's a very simple procedure to treat that called the Epley maneuver, and that's where you tend to, if you move your head forward and back and sideways, it very simply, it allows the pebble to get dislodged.
Yeah, so I went on YouTube, where you can find everything.
You can.
Uh-huh.
And I
busty saw Asians on trampolines.
I saw a physical therapist showing how to do the Elpy maneuver,
Epley.
Or the Epley maneuver.
Epley, yeah.
And so basically you sit up straight up on the bed, and then you turn your head to one side, and then you lay all the way back, and you stay like that. And they said, well, as you're in this position, your symptoms will set in. And sure enough, I laid back, and all of a sudden, everything starts spinning. And I'm like,
wow.
They were like, stay there until it stops. And then you move your head 45 degrees to another angle, and that'll probably start spinning again. Then you do it again. Then you lay on your side, and then you turn your head a specific way, and you stay that way. I had to do it a couple of times, Mike, and it didn't like immediately like, hey, done, gone. It slowly started to work its way out. And then eventually, later on, I felt better.
Well, there you go.
Well, there
what
you
can
go.
I tell you?
Did you feel nauseous? Yeah. Like you're going to vomit at all?
I didn't get to that level. And you guys know
that
me.
That came later.
Like spinning rides and so forth will make me puke. But I never felt full-on nauseous, Kathy. I felt uneasy. I felt, you know.
Well, because the description of it, to me, sounds like it would be something that would give you nausea. But I don't know. I've never had vertigo.
That's part of it, though, right, Dr. Mike? You can become nauseous.
Well, for anyone that's had vertigo for whatever reason, it's not a pleasant feeling. You're really unstable. You feel terrible, and nausea and vomiting are very common. The important thing is to remember that this is something that is benign. It's not a brain tumor. Certainly, if there are other conditions that can cause vertigo that are more serious, there is a test that I do in the office that we all do called the Baronase test. A couple names for it, where you lie the patient down, exactly what Preston was talking about, and what you look for is the eyes will move. It's called nystagmus, and they move from left to right, side to side, and that's a telltale sign, and you're actually able to tell which side the problem is. So you do that, and if there's a normal neurological exam, and in Preston over the phone, I knew because I've examined him enough times to know that was the case, and so that seemed like the right diagnosis, and I'm glad you're feeling better.
Hey, Mike, over Memorial Day weekend, I had to take my mom to the emergency room for vertigo, and she was there for a day or so, and then was basically discharged with go home, drink plenty of fluids, get plenty of rest kind of a thing. Is there anything that could cause it and then a remedy post-ER visit that she should be aware of?
Well, if it continues, then she needs to get examined and checked out, make sure there's nothing else going on. I mean, you certainly can have other causes of vertigo, but if there's a normal neurological exam for the most part, how old is mom?
Nearly 70.
As you get older, you always have to worry about things like cerebrovascular disease. That's where you have narrowing of
Professor
the
X has that.
In the brain.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I think it's not anything to be concerned about. I would imagine if she went to the ER that they scanned her, did they?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was fine. So bottom line is take home message. This is something that is very common.
All right.
You can sometimes get it when you've had a virus. Did she have a cold? You can get what's called a labyrinthritis. That's where you get an inflammation of the inner ear and labyrinth inflammation, and that can cause it. But Preston had pretty clearly benign positional vertigo.
So Mike, what causes these pebbles? What is that?
Probably age.
Age?
Oh, I thought you were going to say age.
Oh, so you have AIDS too.
It's
wow.
Preston's active sexual history
in
bathhouses
that
I have full-blown AIDS.
Oh my God!
I got some bad news for you, pal.
Age. Yeah.
What?
You're just still shell shocked after our HPV discussion.
That's right. Yeah.
Hey, Mike, I got a question for you about vertigo and that weird sensation you have in your head and your brain.
It's called love.
It is called love. Yeah. I was a diver for a long time, and I would do flips and twists and all that sort of stuff. I was on a diving board Labor Day weekend. I did one flip. And it threw my head for a loop. Is that because of? Is that because
AIDS
of my?
Too.
Is that AIDS or is it age?
age.
Okay.
A-G-E, yes.
Well, that's kind of a shame because I liked doing that stuff, and now if I do one like somersault, it throws me.
Do you know
off.
What the treatment is? Don't be a pussy.
Just flip.
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah.
I mean, part of the issue is that it might be best for you to get in better shape, get yourself more conditioned, and then you probably would have a problem. Yeah, I think a couple have had the great honor of flying in an F-16, you really test your semicircular canals flying in a jet. I can tell you that.
It's so wild how you're talking about it basically. These little, you know, organs or membranes or whatever we're discussing specifically that really control your ability to stabilize yourself.
Yeah.
And when someone is suffering from constant vertigo, they never quite have that.
Well, the human body is one of the most amazing things to study. It's one of the it's the most complex machine there ever was. And when you think about semicircular canals,
yeah,
and gyros and all of that, you can't help but realize how amazing the human body is.
Do you know what I'd love to do? I'd love to do one of those tests. You know, the NASA had that. You know that the chair where you rotate. Yep. You know, for in case you're in a full space spin.
Yeah, not me.
No.
You would not want to. I'd be puking all
would
over
you,
the place.
Mike, Mike, would you be into trying something like that?
In a heartbeat. I like G-force.
However, I would do the vomit comet, though.
Yes.
And I know for sure I'd puke all over the place. But that, doing that parabolic dive, would be amazing.
I'm all about that. And look, let me defend Top Gun while I'm on
the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
From? Okay.
He has heard Top Gun be vilified, and he wants to have his moment. Go ahead. Even the man cured you from having your head fall off.
It's the least I owe.
All right.
All right, go ahead.
Well, you know.
Oh, you don't want to defend Tom Hockup
because there is no defense.
No, there is.
That Mike, was his defense.
Mike is going to come over. We're going to watch. I got the original in 3D, and we're going to have a date, a movie date, and go see the second one when it comes out.
There's your defense.
You better believe it.
All right.
We're going to see it again.
Yes, there we go.
There's the defense.
Thanks, Dr. Mike.
You don't see things that stink twice.
All right, we love you. See you later. Listen, sure, the aviation part of it is cool.
Yes.
But the story's just as corny as you can get. All right, so anyhow, we'll let him.
We love him, though.
How is the story so corny?
Okay, the acting is corny. How about that?
The writing, the acting.
Yeah,
all of it is
amazing.
The locker room scene alone.
Yeah. The volleyball scene, yeah. Kelly McGillis.
Mm-hmm. All Tom of it Skerritt. Is great. Tom!
It's okay.
What was that? I only heard
Tom Skerritt.
Tom Skerritt.
It is meant to be. Come on. It is meant to be an homage to the Flyboy movies of the 40s and, you know, early 50s.
Yes.
And that's the whole idea of it. It is corny.
Yeah, you can't.
However, before CGI, they're using practical effects with the real fighter jets,
yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
Yep.
I just wish the woman... I can't even. When you talk about Baby's Day Out with such reverence...
Yeah.
No, that's a terrible movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can defend Top Gun and also know that it's a terrible movie. It's okay.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, Steve, a text says, wow, there are entire playlists of busty Asians on trampolines.
There we know. I knew it.
They didn't.
Did you try that before you did the head thing?
No, I did not. And maybe that would have been that could have ended it right there.
Reset you. And though you start to freak though when you have that. Obviously,
it was a little scary.
Yeah, for 3 hours.
Yeah, because it wouldn't stop. It went on and on and on. I'm like, okay, is something serious going on here? And I was so relieved when Mike was very quick to diagnose it. And two, yes, he led with the word benign.
That makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, here we go. Here's an Asian girl with huge boobs on trampoline,
so to speak.
There you go.
There we go. Lots it's amazing all the medical stuff that's available online.
Well, that's not.
Oh, it's not?
No, it's not. It's therapeutic, okay. I guess, but not necessarily
medical.
We had a number of people that were checking in and texts that were coming in who had experienced vertigo as well. And yes, this Epley maneuver had helped them out. And some other people who had gotten it at a bad time, you know, driving or working or something like that. And all of a sudden, boom, it hits.
Okay. So within about a half hour, you start to feel a little bit better?
Something like that, yeah.
You're doing these vaginal contractions?
I did my Kegels, and I felt so much better.
I do Kegels every day.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Listen, you can't ignore that part of your body.
No. And I know where my G-spot is and everything.
Well, that's
I knew
nice.
You two had vaginas.
Absolutely. It's at the end of a flashlight at home.
I love it.
Probably should grab that audio.
I saw this kind of cute story I thought I'd pass along to you guys. This was a guy named Carlos Zatina.
Know him well.
He met a girl named Nicole at a campus bar, and he only knew a few things about her.
Okay.
He knew the fact that she was from Holland and attended the University of Calgary. Holland.
Oh.
She ended up giving him the wrong number.
Oh.
But he refused to let that stop him from getting to know her. So Carlos decided to go through the University of Calgary's entire email list, and he sent a message to 246 girls named Nicole.
Wow. So this is this rom-com sweet or yeah. Silence of the Lambs chilling?
Depends.
Yeah, I think it's more chilling than anything
else. You have to know the guy.
I don't. I think it's...
rom-com sweet?
I think it's rom-com sweet. It sounds really loud. No, it sounds like something I would have done in my 20s, probably.
Okay, so he...
If I felt the connection, if it felt real, you know what I mean?
Okay, see, I would assume that she had employed the age-old tactic of giving the wrong number or a one digit off or the wrong address, and I would have figured that would have been the sort of passive sign that she was not interested.
To nicely say, no, thank you. I used to do that all the time. I used to give my girlfriend's phone number, and she would get calls. She'd call me.
They'd be the one that got molested.
No, but she would call me all the time. She'd be like, stop giving guys my number.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Why didn't
you make up a number? Why'd you give them?
Because it was more fun that way. Right, it was funnier enough. For her to get a call from some random dude.
A man in my living room.
Well, all she had to do...
I'm you. All she had to do was give them your number.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what she should have done.
She should have.
Yeah. You know who it was? Just like Arani saying.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. That's perfect.
All right.
So this guy sent an email to 246 girls named Nicole.
How did he get access to all that information?
He sent the emails to students, staff, and faculty members. I'm not sure how he accessed all the emails, Steve. Although
maybe he just typed in Nicole. Like if you do that here at work, you know, it'll autofill in. You know, if you type in Preston, it'll get, you know, Preston Elliott or Preston at WMMR.com.
You'd have to keep changing it, though, right?
You need access to the to our database, but I guess somehow or another
he did it.
But anyhow, it turned out that he didn't reach the Nicole he was looking for, but it actually united the Nicoles at the university, and most of them have now become friends. So they made a Facebook group called hashtag Nicole's from last night.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that great?
That
is great.
So just from him reaching out to all of these girls, it got them in touch with each other.
So no sign of the original Nicole.
No, she has the real Nicole has surfaced.
Oh. Hey, I love you, Preston, because I thought this story was going in one direction. And it totally went in a different direction.
I did this for
you. Yes, thank you.
Someone added her to the Facebook group. And apparently she hadn't memorized her Canadian number.
Sure.
And since she was an exchange student, she didn't have a university email address. So somehow or another they tracked her down. Now, what I don't understand is if they have met.
They got together,
or
right.
If they've contacted each other.
I'd be curious to find out because would Kathy, if a guy were to go to this length after an encounter and say it was an accident, you know, that you'd given him your Canadian number or whatever, what would be your take on that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Would you be flattered or would you be a little creeped out?
It would depend on the guy.
Right.
I mean, if I had no interest, then I'd be like, okay, that's a little creepy. But if it was somebody who, was honestly a mistake and she did want to give her number, it's cute.
It's all critical.
Okay, so, this text says, no girl wants to truly admit it, but if he was attractive, it's sweet. And if he was not attractive, it's creepy.
Well, all right, just like Kathy. Like a Kathy.
I'm saying if you liked him or not.
Okay.
So, but they're saying on a level of attractiveness. So, I don't know. I thought that was kind of, I would have done something stupid like that.
What is the greatest length you've gone to find a woman or to win a woman over in your pursuit of her?
Well, you had to win Rochelle over.
Yeah, I had to win Rochelle over. That took a couple of years.
She refused you how many times?
I only asked her out once, but I saw her several times.
I'm from Canada.
Over the course of a couple of years, and then after she had told me that she wasn't interested, I finally, a couple of years later, I got the balls. I'm like, I'm going for it. Like, bartender.
Yeah.
Give me some balls.
Give me a shot.
Fill this cup of the fill this glass with balls.
But I remember going over and like, you know, doing a drink real slamming a drink, and then, damn it, I'm doing it.
What do you think worked that time?
I gave her my phone number.
What do you think worked that time you gave her number? Because there are many guys listening.
My swagger.
Your confident swagger.
Confidence, yeah.
No,
the way your mullet caught the breeze.
She just happened to be drinking that night, too.
She was lit up as well.
So that was in person?
Yeah.
That time? Okay. Uh-huh. Because the phone call and then subsequent rejection is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But a text and not getting a text back is not nearly as bad.
No, you're right.
And so that's something that's happened over the last 10 to 15 years, which makes rejection a lot more palatable.
So here's,
that is true.
Here's a creepy thing that I did. All right. So I had met this group of girls. I just graduated from high school, met these group of girls, Catholic school girls, by the way, Casey. Yeah, yeah. I was a public school guy.
Elementary Catholic school.
And, so they were at a Bible study or something like that?
If you want to call drinking beer and whiskey, Bible study.
Bible study. Sure.
The party, Mike Mosier's house. Anyhow, and I was like, I found out, I met them, befriended them. I had been by their houses, so I knew where they lived.
Okay,
so,
all right.
So one day I went and I left roses at each one of their houses.
Wow.
And I was just basically
fishing for all of them.
Casting a wide net to see who would respond most favorably.
Are you joking, or was each rose actually attached to a fishing line with you
No,
sitting
it wasn't a fishing line.
And
I ended up dating one of the girls.
Yeah.
Is that right?
How many responded? Just the one? Or
Just the one okay. responded favorably.
So we had years ago, you remember the guy?
The others thought it was sweet.
It is sweet. Yeah. Is there any place now in the world we live in, you know, for that kind of old style,
I don't know,
romanticism, those kind of
antics, but that approach where you're trying to just sort of like, you know, Kathy,
you
in this day and age.
That's what I mean. Right, this day and age.
Spelling a name out in roses, would that be, oh, dear God.
I think there's a little bit more of that now because you have to watch.
But it really just depends on who you are, who she is, whether or not there's a connection. Because, you know, one person can leave, you know, your name in roses and that's creepy. And another person
in
can
pink
do
heads.
It. Because, listen, I just think of like, my wife before she dated me, she was, you know, had gone out on a couple of dates with a couple of other guys or whatever. And one guy in particular, after a date, sent her some flowers.
And how did she react?
And to her, that was a clear indication that this was not going to work out.
Interesting.
Yes. And... you know, like, I could have done the same thing after the same amount of dates, but we had a connection right off of the bat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, she knew ahead of time, as the story goes, if I recall properly, her friends and she, they were listeners to the show on Y100, you know. And,
had an idea of who you were.
And they had actually said they thought you and she would be a good fit.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, her roommate.
She's
Colleen
sort of been
like,
primed already.
You know who would be good for you? Is that Casey boy on the Preston, Maryland and Steve show.
But I'm curious about your question. Does the in-person stuff, do you even do that anymore?
I'm suspect. I don't think you can.
There's a different approach now. Yeah. And intern Jasmine, who is looking at me kind of glassy-eyed right now, coming here. One of our calendar girls, by the way, did something a little bit reaching out and kind of interesting. I was handed a note. And this is kind of, instead of doing the in-person deal, you go about this. Jasmine, how you doing, by the way?
Good, how are you?
Good. So what did you do one time?
So, I was scrolling down my Instagram feed and I saw like a club like post, and it was like something funny that this guy, like he's a comedian, like posted.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, this guy is so cute. Yeah. So I saw like you have like regular posts, it'll say like email. So I originally called, it said like email and call. So I called and I was like, hey, you guys just posted something with like this really cute boy. Like, do you know his @? Like on Instagram? Because like I wanted to DM him. They're like, no. So I screen recorded it, put it on my story, and I was like, somebody please find me his @. I was like, I will Venmo you money. Like, so someone ended up
reward.
Yeah. So I ended up paying somebody $20 for finding my future husband. And then I had to wait. He had like 25K. So I was like, oh, he's not going to answer my DMs.
So 25,000.
Wait patiently for like a whole month until like I was like worthy enough to like slide into his DMs. And then when I did,
I know,
he finally answered.
Vocab going on here.
It sounds like you're landing a shuttle.
I know. Yeah.
So, but you know, just to clarify, 25,000 followers he had. So you figured you'd get lost in the sauce.
Yeah.
Okay.
He wouldn't even look at
it. All right. So take us through. Did you finally get to converse with him or talk with him?
Yeah, I did, but it didn't really last that long. So I was like, all that for nothing, $20 out of my pocket.
Wait, did you guys date at all?
No.
He wasn't interested in you?
Yeah, I mean,
Oh my God!
We were like talking about like school, and like I explained my story, like that's probably where I went wrong. I seemed crazy because I was like, oh my God, you're answering. And then I told him that I paid somebody $20.
Did you ever?
Yeah, I even get it. So I ruined my chances.
Did you guys ever meet in person?
No, he lives like in Chicago. So,
well, by the way, it turns out later on, it was Louis Anderson.
You say talking, was that just over text?
No, it was not. I didn't even get his number. Like literally, we stayed on DMs. Yeah. And
did he ever? Did he ever said, see your? Did you ever send him your Instagram?
No, he follows me now, and he likes my pictures. He told me he's coming to Jersey, like,
of course
soon.
He did.
So he said when he comes, like, we can meet up. But, like, I was like, you're not really good at answering DMs, so, like, here's my number. You can use this. And then he kind of just left me on red, and I was like,
man. So no texting, even though he has your number.
Oh, no.
How long ago was this?
Okay, like, maybe a week ago.
Oh my God. It's still just going on.
I guarantee you that will change once he gets into town.
Yeah,
I hope.
He knows you work here.
He thinks he's playing.
I'm in love.
Yeah.
Like, I'm already planning our wedding.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. We need to
see this guy.
Can you do me a favor and, like, pull up his Instagram?
Yeah, let's see his picture.
In the studio here, because I got to see.
Let's see who's worth having you stalk them.
Yeah, Jasmine's going to the other room to do that. But
she's so cute. Huh?
Yeah.
It's a different world.
It is.
That's, but that, you don't hear that kind of commitment. Now, again, though, as a guy, and I would, if I were, you know, I'd be flattered that someone was going to those lengths. I would, but oh it's yeah. quite possible that the guy has a girlfriend or whatever, or had a girlfriend.
I do want to hear a funny dating story, or dating app story. I should. Somebody told me this morning that I saw at a convenience store that they saw me on, what are some of the dating sites? Is Bumble a dating site?
Yeah.
Is that, so they saw a picture of me with somebody else.
Presbo.
On their, like, their profile picture.
Oh, no kidding.
Is a picture of me with them that I guess I met at an event. And I'm like, that's not really going to help you get a date, I don't think.
It might. You know,
but I was told about that.
So here's the guy. It's Trey Cezanne.
Okay. Well, wait, we're putting this out there?
it's his Instagram name.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's not a private account.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's an all right looking guy, I guess. I don't know.
Let's slide into his DMs and send him some Venmo and see if he responds.
Yeah, see if he DMs back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cute.
Is he that worthy?
Kath, I don't know.
For her.
All right.
Jasmine?
Are you in love?
No, I am. He's just like, I don't know, Hispanic. The way he speaks Spanish, just like.
Really?
Yeah, like if you watch one of his videos, he's funny, he's muscular. I like that urban, like those braids, like.
So what is his would you liken his stand up comedy to, like, you know?
Oh, he's a comedian? I missed that
part.
Yeah,
like he posts like
funny Robert videos. Klein, I assume, or no? Who's he like? What comedian would you liken him to?
He's not a I don't think he does stand up.
No, not stand up.
Oh, he's just funny naturally. Funny, yeah. Okay,
like he talks about like life things and like is just funny.
Talks
like,
about life things.
Yeah. Oh man, okay. He's very
like,
deep.
Like the video that I saw, he was talking about like bottle serving girls.
Yeah.
And he was like, if a guy walked past me in the club and like bumped into me, like I would turn around and want to fight. But these bottle girls would like shove you and like already be past you with like the bottle like
dance.
And he's like, and you can't do anything because like they're doing their job.
What he's saying is you can't beat up a bottle girl.
A bottle girl.
And that's his chagrin. But you could beat up a guy who happened to bump into you accidentally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
I think you guys are going to make a great You know, save some of that Venmo money for bail.
Right.
How old are you?
Get a restraining order.
Yeah. Jasmine, how old are you?
21.
You're 21. Okay.
Well, this is the time to do this. It's a whole new world.
Yeah.
I'd be dating this guy probably if it was
maybe
years ago.
Hopefully this is me, like, my second shot at it.
Send him this
I'm
going to
put this on my Instagram so he can see it again.
Sure.
Let us know if he texts you.
All right, I will.
I think you have multiple shots. And if he does come into town, you know, well maybe we'll still see how this is going on air.
All right.
You know?
Right.
We'll extort him.
Come in with me. We'll sit down and, like, talk about
we'll have Steven Singer here ready with an engagement ring.
I have another note from Marissa. It says, video intern Adrian drove to Canada to meet someone that she met on Instagram.
Oh my.
And apparently worked out for, and she's another stunner.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
We got some stalker interns.
Crazy. Yeah. It's all coming from the female side, though.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting. I saw her on Instagram, somebody's story, and I was like, okay. Most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my life.
So you're going for the girl. Okay.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
Luckily she was tagged. So I went to her her Instagram and I right away, no fear, just messaged her and I was like, hi, you're really cute, like, you know, whatever.
Right out of the blue.
And I said, wait a minute. It says Vancouver in your bio.
Oh, that's like not even that's not close
no,
Canada.
No,
no. That's really West far Coast away. Canada. That's no, really was, far away Canada.
I was in LA at the time.
Oh, all right.
So it was close Canada.
Right,
I was like,
right.
Vancouver.
Still not that close.
Well, hey, she was beautiful.
Yeah. Close yeah. Right. Listen, we've all done it for a girl.
Anyway, a friend and I over Thanksgiving break were driving up to Seattle and I was like, "Eh, what's 100 more miles?"
Yeah.
You know, so we drove and met her and spent a couple days with her and it was amazing and it didn't work out romantically cuz she was in a relationship, but yeah, really good friends.
So is that like you to do something like that, or was that completely anomalous?
It is, all my friends, every week I'm chasing someone in the subway.
Really? So if you're an attractive woman, just get around you, and you never know what could happen.
It's got to be her type, though. Yeah.
What's your type?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty unavailable is my type.
Unavailable is your type. Well, have you met one Kathy Romano?
Do you want to give out your Instagram handle?
You don't have to.
You don't have to.
You don't have to.
People can't spell my name. It's fine, but it's Adrienne D'Agostino. I don't know.
All right. She's working in our video department now at Nick Murphy and doing a wonderful job from what we can ascertain. And that's wild.
We'll tag these two girls on our Instagram or Twitter.
Watch
or whatever,
the follows you get now.
Yeah, it's usually me sliding into other people's DMs, so it'd be nice if someone hit me up for once, you know?
Okay, so it's sliding into the DMs.
Yeah, that's...
Let me ask you, what actress or what celebrity or notable personality do you find attractive? So we can sort of direct people.
Ooh.
You know? No one particular type.
I mean,
exotic looking?
Yeah, kind of. It might seem... like pathetic to say, but sort of dark featured.
You basically want to be with yourself.
Yeah, I basically
like a Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah, someone who looks exactly like me. Okay. Maybe even a close name. Maybe an Adriana.
What did the Canadian girl look like?
Oh,
can you pull hers? You don't have to say her name, but pull her account up so we can see what she looks like.
Yeah, go do that real quick.
All right, go to the other room and they'll set you up
in the other room.
How about this?
You have the whole world now to choose from.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
You were St. Louis.
Ah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
So
that was it.
Yeah, yeah. And then even like that my neighborhood school was a commuter school, even at college. It was like it was nothing.
So Rochelle, I met, you know, at a bar. I was a DJ. She was a tub girl. It was a nightclub heaven, 1990s galore. And saw her. She didn't want to go out with me. Fine, whatever. I figured that's over with. And then over the next couple of years, there's that girl again. Oh my God.
See?
We're at the same place.
I should go
talk to her. And that's the way it worked. You know what I mean? And then eventually I saw her again and I'm like, damn it. I'm making the move.
We have the girl up here on the screen. This is the girl you drove to Vancouver for?
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I'll tell you, the first time, the video that I first saw her in, she was giving somebody the finger and I'm like, that's the one.
Yeah. you like the attitude.
I would walk to Vancouver for her.
Yeah.
She's cute, man.
Well, it kind of didn't end up working out because she called me one day and told me she'd rather settle for a guy in the UK than me in the States. And
we're going to the UK
We're going to find out who the guy is.
This probably wouldn't work out for me either. You know, like I used to go to this bar every single Wednesday night. Not just because it was $5 to get in and 25-cent drinks for a few hours, but there was a girl there.
Right.
And I tried so hard.
What's your name?
Not a chance in hell.
You're a little fire plug, aren't you? I like you.
Fire plug.
You're a little fire plug.
You're a little love monkey, I think. I'm going to strap you on and play the hurdy-gurdy.
She was not interested, man. I offered to buy her 25-cent drinks many times, and she never
did. Yes.
Here's a dollar.
Have a dollar. That's four drinks.
This hulking woman standing over Casey, looking down to him.
It's so much easier to be rejected.
Come outside and watch me split wood with my hands.
When you're doing it in a virtual world, when you're doing it over Instagram, if you slide into somebody's DMs and they don't respond, who cares? Go on to the next one.
I wonder if it might be desensitizing people to...
Absolutely.
What's the word I'm looking for? Might be desensitizing people to rejection.
Sure.
To Nick's original point, there's a step, Preston, you've... Throughout our lives of dating, quite often we had to look at the person who was turning us down.
Crushing.
And it is a crushing defeat.
You're being rejected now by your phone. And that's a lot less hurtful and personal than literally the words coming out of somebody's mouth.
Mm-hmm. It's also allowing them to, you know, just go for it, to shoot higher. You know, you never know. Before, you never had any connection with, say, a celebrity or, you know.
Sure. Let's go out to my gremlin and I'll give you a hand. It's made by AMC.
Sounds kind of appealing.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! Wow. Okay, well, I was not expecting this conversation to go in this direction, but very interesting from our interns, and they went for it, you know? And I always thought it was just desperate guys that did stuff like that, you know?
Not
attractive, affluent young women.
Seriously.
You know?
And it's interesting that the dynamic has become a little bit, you can private detective someone a bit before you go in for the encounter.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that this, we had to operate, on a friend, I heard she's like this, or I heard he's like that, or blah, blah, blah. And you a little bit of just sort of circumstantial evidence, where as opposed to you can now jump into someone's timeline on Facebook or on Instagram and sort of see what they're about.
Somebody texted and said, does DM equal Dungeon Master?
No.
Yes. Yes. I took a roller, and I have 7 runes.
You want to go home and play Dungeons and Dragons? You little fire plug. Look at you. I'm going to tweak your nose like a little tomato.
Love it.
I have $5. That's 20 drinks.
Do a lot of damage in the next 2 hours.
Wait, let me ask a DM question real quick. If you DM somebody on Instagram and they don't follow you, will they see it? Or
they
does
won't.
It,
will they?
Have to, they have to accept it first, they right?
So, okay, so it does go in that. All right. Because
mm-hmm. So,
I had I DM'd somebody. I was actually trying to connect with somebody.
Trying to get a date?
Not a date. No, it's somebody from.
I wrote back to you.
I have over 35 cleaning fluids in my house.
Do you want to come over and clean?
All right. There's a small wine stain on the carpet. Why don't you come over and see if you can rub it out?
No, I got that up right away. I didn't let that sit.
So who were you trying to get in touch with?
It's just somebody from my past who I was I'm looking to find her mother to reconnect with her mom.
And they haven't responded to you?
Older cougar.
I found the daughter on.
Hot.
I'll show you the picture of the daughter.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. Oh, well, wow. I used to be her babysitter. I watched them when they were 2 years old.
Keep going.
And yeah. And I found her babysitter. Because she has an odd name.
So hot here. Take off my bra.
Stop. Come on. So
it's
annoying.
Okay. You're okay. You won't know.
I hate all of you. I hate all of you.
Oh, you've grown up.
No, I have a question. So you sent them. How long ago did you send the message?
A couple days ago, maybe five days.
That's
ago.
That's wild. So. And you just saw this adult person that you
are they posting anything that you've seen since then? Because they may not just be going on their.
Okay. Yeah, I know. But there was no, I don't know if I can, it doesn't say red or anything like that. So I don't think she saw it, but I'm hoping that she does.
I know a certain young lady in our video department that might be interested.
Oh, God, stop it. I just want to find her mom. That's
Anyhow,
all.
Marissa will help you out with that.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right. We'll find out if this guy ends up hooking up with the girl that he reached out to. He was very creative about it. And apparently there's many ways that you can do that now. So
I just think perhaps the ways of yore might be... a little too
dated or too much work?
Well, or might more alarming.
Or scary. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's possible.
Or something that would be considered chivalrous and romantic might now be considered a bit too much. I hope that's not the case, but I suspect it is.
You never know. All right, we got to take a break. And Casey, how about we give away these movie passes? I want to give away the last of these. White Boy Rick is the movie that we have a screening for. It is tonight. Matthew McConaughey stars, and it will be at the UA King of Prussia starting at 7 o'clock. So you need to be there by 6:30. 215-263-WMMR is the number, so give us a call right now. And don't forget, we will do a moment of silence this morning. It is September 11th to commemorate the people that lost their lives on that day. So we will have that coming up at 8:46, I believe it's the time.
Yes.
We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
MMR was pretty humbled when the biggest hard rock band on the planet said yes to playing our final big birthday concert event. Okay, maybe not humbled, more like ecstatic. The MMR 50th finale with Metallica. October 25th, we blow out the 50 candles on our cake and blow the roof off the Wells Fargo Center. We begin our 50-day march to Metallica. Every day, you can win the coolest Metallica treasures, CDs, concert posters, collectible vinyl, and tickets. Grand prize, meet the band and take home a custom Metallica Yeti cooler. It's MMR's 50th finale with Metallica. On sale now at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com.
Really?
Yeah. All right. I've got some bizarre file stories, and we need to just get right into those right now. So here we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we're going to start with a story. I saw the video of a pint-sized cheerleader in California pummeled another girl who challenged her to a fight while still in her uniform.
The footage posted early Saturday purportedly shows Savannah Sprague, a cheerleader for Clayton Valley Charter High School.
Little thing.
Beating an unidentified girl who had just challenged her to a fight as the cheerleader sat at a table while surrounded by other youngsters. You can see the larger girl, and the girl is much larger than the cheerleader.
50, 60 pounds, I would estimate.
The girl tells Sprague, you want to fight? And Sprague says, no, nobody wants to fight. You guys want to fight us. Nobody speaks on you guys. Nobody talks about you guys. Sprague then told the girl standing over her to get her finger out of her face, quickly escalating tensions as several witnesses looked on. Oh. The larger girl goes, what are you going to do? Are you going to make me get back? And Sprague says, don't effing touch me. Well, seconds later, the unidentified girl slapped the cheerleader in the face. Oh. And the chick got up and went, opened up a can of whoop ass on her.
In her outfit with the little hearts on her cheeks and the little hair up and the whole thing. Holy beats the piss out of this much bigger girl.
Yeah, at one point, Sprague is seen on top of the other girl, pummeling her with vicious, repetitive closed fist blows to her back and face. And you can hear some people saying, break it up. One person says off camera as the girls collect themselves after the fight. Other students at the scene reacted wildly after the melee, including this idiot that was filming it. Did you see him, too?
He says, yo, bro!
He goes, I love watching rumbles, especially when it's bitches.
Yeah. Oh,
so there you go. But this girl takes her down and absolutely... Wow.
She's tiny.
Holding on to her phone, too, in one hand.
Kathy, she's, again, look at the size of the girl she's fighting. Has, again, like 50 pounds on her.
And she didn't start it. This other girl started
The girl was sitting down.
Wow.
She let her have it.
Cheerleader whoop ass.
When it broke up, the instigator, she didn't want anything of it.
She
walked away. No. She was like, oh, my God.
Bully beat down, man. I like it.
Go team.
Hey.
Hometown 95.
Yeah, we all came alive.
Homecoming.
A woman is facing charges after assaulting and trying to rob a man. Bertha Osejo showed up at the victim's home Thursday. She asked the man for $5,000 to go to Mexico and have an exorcism, but became very angry when the victim wouldn't hand over the money. That's when Osejo pulled out the victim's colostomy bag and tried to hit him with an iron.
Oh, that's just bad cricket.
It is. But she needed an exorcism, for crying out loud.
What are you keeping this thing? A lot of poop and piss?
She even broke windows in the man's house, but fled before
deputies
arrived.
Well, she does need the exorcism, from what you're saying.
Yeah, they were able to track her down, and they arrested her. I love this story. An Ohio grocery store employee is facing felony theft charges for eating $9,200 worth of deli ham and salami.
Oh my God.
I saw this, what? And I had to look at the number again. $9,200 worth of ham.
Yeah, just shy of 10 grand.
Yeah. Wait, and how much time here?
A weekend. The unnamed female employee worked at a Giant Eagle grocery store for 8 years, and authorities say that she helped herself to 3 to 5 slices of ham daily, which totaled $9,200 in revenue. So you've been doing it every day for years. Come on, man.
Yeah, but it's also, it's a couple of slices add up, right? Yeah. But I mean, still, it's not like she was stealing a pound at a time.
Exactly. She was just having a little snack here and there.
But the fact that why didn't they step in
Why'd you wait 8 years? Although the woman,
wait till it hits close to 10,000.
Although the woman is facing potential felony theft charges, the officer said in a statement on Facebook that felony charges are unlikely. A man accused of kicking a seagull that tried to eat his cheeseburger at a New Hampshire beach has been fined $124.
Can't kick seagulls.
Not when they're trying to eat your cheeseburger. Police investigated the report from a bystander at Hampton Beach earlier this summer. The man, Nate Rancolos, said he had just returned from getting a cheeseburger and fries and was sitting on the sand. He said seagulls got to the burger and he spun around with his leg to shoo one away, but accidentally struck the bird. He said it was a simple mistake. A witness said that it appeared the bird's leg was injured and that it struggled to fly away. Seagulls are protected under federal law, so he faced a fine.
You can't kick a seagull.
I'll tell you what, though, man. I don't know if they're getting more and more out of control, but they're swooping down and taking full-on sandwiches out of people's hands.
Here's the deal. You've got beaches full of people with food, and it just becomes instinct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's where the food is.
Exactly. When Dr. Yasir Hamad heard that a patient's tongue had turned black, he decided that he needed to see it for himself. And he said...
Oh, I got to see this.
...that it was a typical... Wait till you hear this. He said it was a typical textbook case of a condition known as black hairy tongue.
Black hairy tongue?
Yep.
That is a porn name if ever there's been one.
This
or is a hairy black tongue.
This is a professor at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. Ahmad published the case Wednesday in the New England Journal of Medicine. Despite the name, black hairy tongue isn't hair at all. It refers to tiny nubbins on the tongue.
nubbins.
Called papillae.
I can't look.
That have grown longer and turned black. And these...
Holy...
Yeah,
these, oh my God.
I'll have nightmares if I look.
These bumps, normally less than a millimeter long, can reach between 12 and 18 millimeters.
That's disgusting.
As the papillae grow, they are thought to trap microscopic food particles, giving bacteria and other microbes a chance to thrive on the tongue, causing a strange discoloration.
Jesus.
Black hairy tongue
is... It looks like a tongue full of ants.
Black hairy tongue is an uncommon and harmless side effect of some drugs, but can also be linked to smoking, poor oral hygiene, and certain medical conditions.
Jeez.
Ahmad's patient, a 55-year-old woman, had received an antibiotic called minocycline to deal with a wound infection after a motor vehicle accident, according to his report. Within a week...
Look at those nubbins.
Her tongue turned black, she began to feel nauseated, and there was a foul taste in her mouth. It is actually reversible, he said. 4 weeks after doctors changed her medical regimen, the patient's tongue returned to its normal color.
So she had a massive nubbin reduction?
Yeah, it's unclear exactly how uncommon this is, Ahmad said, but it's the first case he's seen in 10 years of practicing. He said, if your tongue starts to look suspiciously black and hairy, he said, don't panic. Check with your primary doctor because some other conditions can resemble this as well.
This is one of the foulest things I've ever seen.
Ever.
Black hairy tongue, and it's real. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file.
Wow.
Casey is thumbing through our prizes. Give me something to give away. I'm excited about this. I have a chance for you to see the Impractical Jokers. They're coming to town, and they will be performing Saturday, January 19th at 5 p.m. at the Met in Philadelphia on North Broad Street. This is the new venue that just debuted yesterday.
I'm so glad they rescheduled the show.
Yeah, because they were going to do a New Year's Eve party.
New Year's Eve,
and they had to cancel it. But I absolutely love this because they're calling it the Cranges McBasketball World Comedy Tour, which is a bit from one of their it's from one of their bits. And I love it. Cranges McBasketball. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com. Let's take call number 12 at 215-263-WMMR, and you get to go see the Impractical Jokers. How about that? We'll take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure that you stay with us. Our buddy Craig Gass will be here this morning, and we will observe 9/11 coming up in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
September 11th today, so at 8:46, as close as we can get to it, we will do our best to hit it on time, but we'll do a minute of silence. We do that every year. Just to reflect for a moment and give respect to a horrible moment in American history.
17 years.
Yeah, so we've got a little less than 10 minutes till we get to before that. But listen, I want to double back for a second in that bizarre file story. We got a ton of texts coming in saying that you can get black hairy tongue from taking too much Pepto-Bismol.
Oh,
I got message after message after message that said that. And I got a text
from Pepto-Bismol?
Yeah, and I also got a text from a dental hygienist that says that she sees black hairy tongue all the time.
You could also get it from being with a sweaty hooker.
With an unclean woman.
I don't
know Pepto-Bismol.
Pepto-Bismol? I'm not a big fan of the taste of Pepto-Bismol. You obviously only take it when you're sick. It's not a recreational drink. But to me, how the hell would it cause black hairy tongue?
Man, we took that all the time.
I still take it.
That was our go-to.
It's still my go-to.
Medicine.
What's it for? It's for
upset stomach.
Diarrhea.
You know, I mean, like anything that's gastrointestinal, I'll take it for, and it works. It absolutely works for me.
Is it good for like acid reflux? Or is that more tummy?
Well, it says, you know, in the ad, it says indigestion, you know, nausea, diarrhea, all that stuff. So
all
we
the
always,
fun stuff.
We always look for diarrhea.
Okay.
If that were the case. But so here's, all right, this bit of information was pulled up. It says the active ingredient in Pepto-Bismol contains bismuth.
Yes.
When a small amount of bismuth combines with trace amounts of sulfur in your saliva and gastrointestinal tract, a black-colored substance, which is called bismuth sulfide, is formed and caused a black stain. This discoloration is temporary and harmless. I don't think it's the same thing as black hairy tongue.
No, because that doesn't look like a black stain. It literally looks like black short bristly hair on your tongue.
Yeah. But I guess it can give you a black stain on your tongue or make your tongue turn black, which would be fairly alarming to me if I all of a sudden saw my tongue black and I hadn't been eating anything that was black.
Isn't one of the signs of the bubonic plague, wasn't that?
Oh, maybe. Really?
Your tongue would turn black?
Even if I'm drinking red wine and my teeth get stained and my tongue turns black that way, that alarms me. I don't know.
I've got the plague.
Yeah, I think I'm dying.
Here, somebody texts in and says this, I get black poop with Pepto. Yeah, I used to have that issue.
Yeah. I've never taken it, ever.
Black poop?
What was your... No, not black poop. Oh. Pepto-Bismol.
Oh, Pepto-Bismol.
What was your go-to in your family house? Like Kaopectate or something like that?
All right, so this is going to sound weird. It was like Coke syrup.
Yes! No, that's not weird at all.
Okay.
And you buy it. It's not just simply having a Coke. They sell the Coke syrup separately.
Huh.
And it has a very relaxing... If your stomach is upset for vomiting and for, you know, Pepto's a go-to. Alka-Seltzer, if it's a little bit lighter... I tell you what works like a shot, though. If you ever use the Imodium, if it's the other situation where you have a Mississippi mudslide,
yeah,
that'll lock you up like nobody's business.
Yeah, I was always worried when I had done a couple of 5Ks and like sprint triathlons, and those start early in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
During right in the middle of my morning constitutional, right?
So, yeah.
You just
crap yourself.
I took the Imodium. I was like, I don't want to, in the middle of this race, have to pull over and like dump in a bush or something like
right,
that.
Yeah.
Dump in a bush.
Dump in a bush.
Yeah. Yeah. We would, my parents would always have us drink to settle our stomach, as you said, like Sprite or ginger ale.
Same
ginger
thing.
Ale was
a go-to. Yeah. And they would make, we would make like floats out of them with,
Pepto-Bismol.
No, with, Sherbert. Damn it. It's sherbet. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. Was that you?
Yeah.
Orange.
And that would, that, for your
orange,
stomach?
Orange sherbet and Sprite. Like an orange sherbet and a lime soda.
For your stomach.
Tastes really good.
Really?
I've never heard of that. I don't even know why I pulled sherbet out of my ass, but. Yeah.
It must be cold.
That sounds amazing.
I never was a big fan of sherbet.
No?
No.
Oh,
I'd like to try that float, though.
Yeah.
Whether or not I have it.
And that's just for your stomach? It's really good.
Yeah,
it's as good as a treat anyway. But for some reason, it would.
For me, it was Twizzlers and Oreos to cure scurvy.
I know it seems odd. Yeah. You're talking about something that's really sugary,
right? And completely.
But I think it's the carbonation that would help you burp.
Yes.
And maybe get whatever was in there out a little bit. So that's what we would use.
Steve, for me, the danger with Imodium, because it does work, is that it can work too much for several days.
You are right. So you have to really take exactly the way, because at a certain point, you're going to have to put a grenade between your ass cheeks. Because it'll there are tombs in Egypt sealed.
Yeah. So anyhow, thank you guys for chiming in. I had no idea that Pepto-Bismol could turn your tongue black. Not the same thing as black hairy tongue,
no.
But nonetheless.
Which is disgusting.
We appreciate it. I'm keeping an eye on the clock. It's 8:44. Is this our official clock? We have two different clocks here.
Well, so the official time right here in our studio is 43. But
right,
because
so eight,
of the,
we'll go with that, 8:43. So we got about 3 minutes, and we're going to do a minute of silence for 9/11 and all the horrible things that happened that day. We were on the air that day. We've recounted the story many times. Everybody has their where you were and when you heard it stories, of course.
Couple of things with that, Preston. It was pointed out yesterday, there are people in high school now who never aware of
they weren't alive,
right? I should say not aware, but it was not part of their existence.
My son was born in he was born the year before, so you know he was born in 2000,
right?
And I think about that, I'm like, it's one more year and he would have missed being alive for, but that's the only child we had when it happened.
And you know, a lot of us watched it happen live on TV, And, you know, Press, I was watching the Mr. Rogers documentary, and they had touched on the space shuttle explosion.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was another one that, you know, as a child, you because there was a teacher going into space, we all watched that happen live on. And so my kids are watching the documentary, and, you know, I had a lot of questions about that. It was like, you know, just sort of terrifying.
It's surreal.
It's surreal. And it kind of thrusts, you know, our younger generation of that time into... I don't even know the right.
You grow up a little quicker.
You grow up a lot quicker. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I have not been to Ground Zero. I have been to Shanksville twice.
Yeah, I'll probably go to Ground Zero in the next couple of weeks or so. We're going up to, my family and I are going up to New York.
And you have to get your tickets in advance.
Oh, you do?
I believe. Yeah,
they recommend you do that.
You want to look into that if you are going to do that. But if you go to Shanksville and they have a new. Memorial that they built. It's a tower.
Yes.
It's called the Tower of Voices, I think, and it's 93 feet tall. It's Flight 93, and it has, I believe, 40 chimes in it, wind chimes that represent all the people that died on that particular on that portion of the horrible events of that day.
The president will be there today.
Yeah, it's worth going to. It's a bit of a hike. It's out in the middle of nowhere, but we happen to be heading out in that way two times. And we were within an hour's drive. We were like, you know what? Let's detour and go over here and take a look. And it's sobering and it's very sad
It's something that should be done though. We cannot let it slip from the from our memories and always pay our respects and keep it foremost in our thoughts.
Yeah. So there's obviously different services and remembrances that are going on today that will be official, and you'll see them on TV. And if you can't do it live, which we're about to here in about 15 seconds, you'll be able to watch that later on and see who was where. And they always do the reading of the names and things like that.
Yes,
that take place. So we're gonna take a moment, pause from our programming for roughly a minute, and just kind of reflect and think about that. So we will do that right now. All right, taking just a moment there to stop and think about that terrible, terrible day.
There's a couple of things that have actually happened. It was just a few days ago. They reopened the subway station below what was the Twin Towers, now the Freedom Tower, which had been in repairs for 17 years.
Yeah.
It was so severely damaged. And there's still many, many people unaccounted for. And there was news that came out yesterday about a new DNA capability that might allow them to start to identify some of the unidentified remains that they still have.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And that might help bring, you know, a sense of closure to so many people. Again, you know, we've recounted it. We know, you know, our own personal experiences. As you said, we're on the air. But one of the most... sobering things that I took away from it. At that time, my wife and I lived in Massapequa, New York, and I would come down and do the show at Y100 and then drive back up. And we lived right off a train parking lot, train station parking lot. And there were cars there that I'd see there stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And they stayed there. Oh. And they stayed there. Wow. And you knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
And it was just, and always, you know. I start to tear up.
Well, we lived near the, not too far from the airport, and the lack of aircraft for several days afterwards.
4 days.
Was a stark reminder every day. It was just, it was very clear what was missing because we got so used to planes coming over the house. We never, you know, it was just part of
the absence.
Part of the fabric of the day.
Yeah.
And it was like, something's weird, you know? And then eventually, like, oh, yeah, there's no, I'm not hearing any planes anywhere. Very strange. Very, very strange. Okay, and with that, why don't we go ahead and take a break and come back in a moment. We do have a guest who's going to be here in a few minutes, so thanks for taking that minute with us. We do appreciate that. So we'll return in a second or two, and our buddy Craig Gass is here. He's going to be in Atlantic City, Howie Mandel's Comedy Club at the new Hard Rock Casino. So we'll come back in just a second. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. What better way to get back into the swing of things than with a relaxing massage or rejuvenating facial? With 50 locations right in this area, you're sure to find a relaxing spa experience. Introductory services are just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready for love? Well, if you're in love and you're ready to get engaged, visit Steven Singer at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. His Ready for Love collection of engagement rings are ready to go and ship immediately for free, all at the perfect price. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Our next guest, usually here to promote a show in Philly, but he's in Jersey, and he's at the new venue at Hard Rock Casino, and that's the Howie Mandel Comedy Club. And ladies and gentlemen, our good friend is back in town. He's performing tonight through Thursday. Craig Gass! Yay! Yay!
Excited to be here.
Happy to have you.
And excited to see this brand new comedy club
in
Atlantic City. Tonight is the first night, and I would say, if you're listening to this station, tonight's the night you want to go.
Oh, yeah? Right. Why is that? You have
because you. I can't say.
Okay.
But if you,
I know what's going to happen.
Craig's got a lot of rock friends.
You're going to phone in the shows tomorrow.
To tell you what.
Tonight's the night you're really going to do it.
All the shows are going to be fun.
Oh, okay.
I'm usually hilarious.
Yeah.
Most of the time I'm funny.
Right.
But if you listen to this station.
Yeah.
Tonight's the night you want.
All right.
Okay.
That's
all
I'm going to say.
Rocker. And also notice on my Instagram. Not that I'm saying it's related.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you look at my Instagram, look at the war that I'm having. A fun war.
Okay.
With Corey Taylor.
With Corey Taylor?
We're doing impressions of each other back and forth.
Interesting.
On Instagram.
You have a lot of rocker pals.
Yeah, I'm wearing my Pearl Jam.
You're wearing your Pearl Jam.
I saw that.
Nick has hung out with Eddie Vedder.
Well, we've talked before.
Collective.
My friend Mike
McCready,
is the guitar
That's
player.
That's right.
He's the guitar player of the band. And I saw him last week or 2 weeks ago. I posted videos from the show, and I never... do you ever feel like you need to be careful when you're in a cool situation on how you word it on your social media?
Absolutely.
Because people are going to go, oh, dick.
They're
going to be mad at you, so you have to be careful about it. I never, because of that, I never say what I'm actually doing. I give it such a, like a roundabout description.
Very generic.
Like I was, if you follow my Facebook page, you'll see... look at the video that's on there right now, Pearl Jam. Oh, they're showing it right now.
Yeah.
So I just posted, because I'm a Seahawks fan. I'm one of, like, five Seahawks fans that existed before 2000.
Sure.
And I posted, fellow Seahawks fans have a cover band playing at a sports bar in Chicago right now. And I did a live broadcast on stage, and it's Pearl Jam on stage.
Uh-huh.
I'm on stage with them as they play Bob O'Reilly.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Amazing.
So the cover tune. Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, so...
Wow, that's a massive access.
By the way, every time I go to a show, I always... Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I mean,
I never,
you're
like,
right the hell there.
A few years ago when I was at the Super Bowl in San Francisco, I remember doing a live broadcast on Facebook and saying, local San Francisco band playing a song about a puppet. #, not bad.
Yeah,
and it was right. Metallica doing a rehearsal. And people tuned in to look at it. And then the comments started coming and going, dude, wait, what the hell is this? What's going on? By the way, the drummer of Pearl Jam, apparently they're all Kiss fans.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And Mike McCready, who appears on my comedy special, was saying, we all talk about Kiss every day. And in fact, Matt has a really funny story he wants to tell you. And Matt's his drummer. And Matt goes, he said that he was in a Kiss cover band when he was 15 years old.
Right.
They called themselves Kiss.
Really, just straight up Kiss.
They're 15 years old.
They didn't know.
They're like, hey, man, we are Kiss.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would do shows once a month at somebody's house that they went to school with. And they'd pass flyers around and they'd say, hey, man, this.
Same artwork, same whole deal.
Say, this Saturday at Steve's house. Kiss. Yeah, yeah. And they'd have Steve's address, and then everybody would show up, and at 8 o'clock, they'd all come out dressed like Kiss, and
they didn't know.
From Kiss songs.
Yeah.
One day, Matt Cameron gets a letter in the mail from Casablanca Records, which is Kiss's record label, and he goes, dude, we're getting signed! He doesn't even want to open the letter until everybody goes, get over here, we're going to open it together! We're going to open it together! Like, oh my God, we're getting signed. Somebody found out about us, we're getting signed. They open it up, it's a cease and desist. From Kiss!
Kiss actively, it's one thing, you know, they control their product, and they actively will go after these cover bands, you know, it's part of the legend. Well, I'm sure you can verify that.
Yeah, and on some level, I respect it, and... But it is entertaining.
You can be certified, though, by the band. They will, if you are given the thumbs up and you are vetted properly, they will give you, they'll allow you to tour as a cover band.
A
tribute band, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, you actually, the endorsement does come from the band. But the stories about money and, like, I was just telling somebody, I did a show at the Comedy Store on Sunday night, Sebastian Bach. Tells me a story that I found so funny. Sebastian Bach is the biggest Kiss fan.
Yeah, he is.
In the world. Yeah. And I remember talking to him about running into Gene. We started telling stories about Gene. And I asked one question. I said, has Gene ever been cheap to you? And Sebastian Bach goes, dude, I was at that guy's house, and that guy has, like, a Kiss museum. Which, you're bringing up the picture right now of me standing in the museum at his house where I'm wearing Gene's clothes.
He has, like, a Kiss museum at his house, and he had a bag with, like, 100 Kiss cell phone covers. And I said, dude, what the hell is that?
And apparently Gene goes, that's our new promotion for Kissmas. It's our Kiss cell phone covers.
Dude, can I have one of those?
I wish I could, but if you go to kissonline.com...
Oh,
he had 100 pieces of plastic. He wouldn't give one to Sebastian Bach.
You are in this picture, you're rocking the classic Gene Simmons Kiss boots.
Yeah, he invited me into his house to film an episode.
A good host?
TV show.
Those are the Destroyer.
Oh, you know what? I will say this. When I left his house, I'm in a production van, and we're getting ready to leave his property. When one of the guys in the van in front of me has a radio, and I hear him grabbing the radio going, hey, guys. Yeah, he's up here with us. No, we got him. All right, we'll send him in. Craig, hey, Gene wants to talk to you before you leave, so go back in the house. And I said, what? Let's just tell him we left. Craig, he knows you're here. He knows you're in the van. He knows you're still on the property. So just go back in. He wants to say goodbye to you, but go meet him outside the museum. And I go, all right. So I go back inside the house. I find my way back to the Kiss Museum. Gene is standing in front of a table of Kiss merch.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, would you like some parting gifts? And I go, sure. He goes, what do you want? Extra large? Do you want extra large? Do you wear boxers? Do you want boxers? And I go, whatever you want to give me. He goes, I have comic books. Here, hold on. Let me grab a bag. He whips out a Kiss shopping bag. It's got a Kiss logo on it.
Yeah, yeah.
He starts loading it up, and I go, oh, my God. And then I notice he has baby clothes, and I go, oh, my God. This isn't for me, but Your baby clothes. My friend Mike is the guitar player at Pearl Jam, and he's a huge fan of yours, and he just had a baby. Would it be okay to take one of those for Mike? And he goes, is that Mike McGready? Is that who you're talking about? I go, yes. He's a dear friend of mine, and he loves you. He's one of your biggest fans, and he just had a baby.
You can take two.
Is that wild? That he's running a merch table in his own home.
In his own house.
God almighty.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Did you see my friend Dwayne bought, you know, because they were the, he bought one of the safes.
Yeah.
You know, the collector's safes.
Oh, yeah. He comes to your house.
Well, yeah, yeah. He bought the package. Extreme...
Right. Like the $25,000 He bought like the, a
package. It was like a $5,000 version.
Right.
And then, 20 and a 50,000.
Yeah. And so I went, I think it was to the truck. And so met with like 100 fans who had purchased those. Yeah. But I know. But you know what? If you're a fan.
Absolutely.
That means everything. So like, I know people go ape-ass on that because, like, man, he's every possible way he can get a cent. But if you're a fan and you want that, it's the greatest thing in the world.
Let me tell you something. You can slag them for it.
Yeah.
Everyone does this now. Everyone does a meet and greet where you pay and you can meet your heroes. Mm-hmm. And I have worked with KISS now a few times on this event called the KISS Cruise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where we do a cruise out to different destinations.
You've met my friend countless times when you've done those.
You don't even know it.
Yeah, because he does them all. He loves them. Freaking loves them.
Wow. Well, they will do a meet and greet on the boat. They take a photograph with all 3,000 fans.
Yeah.
They take a photo with everybody. And they stand in their outfits for several hours a day in their costumes.
Yeah.
And take pictures with fans. I have since talked to and found some really funny photos from the promoter. It's the same promoter that does these other cruises, like the Kid Rock cruise and the Lynyrd Skynyrd cruise. He showed me photos of Lynyrd Skynyrd doing. They do a cruise and they do a meet and greet, and they are not only are they sitting in chairs,
yeah.
They're not even acknowledging the fans. Some of the photos.
It looks like people are just passing behind.
They're passing behind.
And
they say, "Listen, no conversation." And that's just to speed it up. Because when you have 3,000 people.
No, you can understand that.
If you have 10 seconds with each of your 3,000 fans,
that's hours and hours.
Yeah. That's hours and hours. So I understand the no conversation. Get in, take the picture, and get out. Mm-hmm. But Lynyrd Skynyrd, not only people are walking behind him, in some of the photos, they're looking at each other and just talking.
Yeah.
They're not even turning. Like, I mean,
they look like waiters in the back.
They don't even acknowledge their fans. So for KISS to stand in their costumes and take pictures with all their fans, I mean, I give them a lot of credit.
Yeah,
but
that's cool. You get your money's worth. That's what's always been said about KISS. You get your money's worth
for sure.
The nicest meet and greet I've ever been lucky enough to attend was Metallica, and it was 2001 or 2002, and everybody has a Metallica story that they want to share with Lars, that they want to share with James. And those guys took the time to listen to every one of those stories. And I was so impressed by that. I'll never forget how cool they were. And Lars, as you know, is a bit of a talker.
He is. He's, I shouldn't admit this, but I'm hoping somebody in this room does the same thing. I save all my voicemails from people. Do you do that? Okay.
Well, if it's somebody that, you know, but I don't get a lot of voicemails, but if if a celebrity were to call me or something, I'd hold on to it, I should say.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel embarrassed to admit that. I have one from Gene Simmons where he left me a message. It was the first time he ever called me. Boop.
Hi, Craig. This is Gene Simmons from KISS.
He actually said,
from
KISS on my answering machine. Like, I'm going to confuse you with Gene Simmons from Pet Boys. But Lars Ulrich left me a message once that was a drunken. I had just told him I did a roast. That Gilbert Gottfried was a part of, and he told the most offensive joke I've ever heard.
That says a lot for Gilbert.
It really, it is to this day the most offensive thing. I can't even.
Was it the Aristocrats?
No, it was at the roast of Richard Belzer. I will say this. Gilbert walks out on stage and he wasn't supposed to be part of the roast.
Right.
So that was part one of the problem. He was supposed to sit on the dais, and when he showed up, someone gave him a schedule and said, "We're putting you on after Christopher Walken." And he said, "Oh, I don't have any jokes." So in the basement of this theater, I'm sitting with Gilbert, and Jim Norton and Rich Voss are writing jokes on the fly for Gilbert. Oh, try this.
Right.
And I remember mentioning, why don't you just go up and just have nothing to do with it? Like, why don't you just go up and just be completely irrelevant to what's going on?
Just do an act, basically.
Just do an act.
Yeah.
And he said, "You know, I think you're right." And he went out on stage, and this is horrifying. This is really horrifying.
Yeah, okay.
He did 5 minutes of pedophile jokes.
Oh,
and
my God.
And as he walked out, I remember they go, "Ladies and gentlemen, the next roaster, joke, please welcome Gilbert Gottfried." And Gilbert walked up, and you could pick up on the microphone as he walked up to Richard and said, "I'm sorry. I'll do the best I can."
just insert the name Richard Belzer wherever you'd like. And he did pedophile jokes.
Oh, my
and then his
God.
Last joke is so horrifying.
Yeah.
There's no way to sanitize it.
Okay.
But it was so horrifying that he got a standing ovation.
So he's legendary. You know, you remember the story. I think it was the Hugh Hefner roast or what. It came right after, in fact,
oh,
in 9/11.
Right. After 9/11, yeah.
And he told the aristocrats joke.
I'll tell you what. If you yell out Gilbert Gottfried
yeah.
at the Howie Mandel Comedy Club tonight or tomorrow or Thursday in Atlantic City, I'll tell this. Hopefully they won't be offended by that. By the way, I am really moved personally by what you just did in the last hour by having a minute of silence. That was really a cool move.
Well, we do it every year. And only because you need to, and we appreciate that. But it's a necessity. Have you you've been to the site?
I was home when it.
Yeah.
I was living in Connecticut that day.
There are multiple sites. Obviously, we're talking the Pentagon and
yep.
And here locally and the World Trade Center.
At the time, I was auditioning to be on a radio show, and I would get put up in a hotel in Manhattan 2 days a week. And for like 9 months, I kept staying at the same hotel for
right.
two nights a week. And early on in this audition, I remember walking around the corner to get some food, and I walked past a fire station, and I got recognized by a couple of firemen. And I'm very embarrassing. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
I know people who are very famous who go out of their way to not be recognized by people. They try to like minimize that.
You're the other way.
If you recognize me, I have had multiple moments in my life after being recognized where people go, okay, we need to go. And I go, come on, man. I want to hang out with you. And they go, yeah, but we had someplace to be. And I go, I'll come with you. No, it's all right. It's all right. I got recognized in my own building in yeah. Los Angeles. Some guy was like, Craig Gass, what are you doing here? I go, dude, I live here. What's up? And I kicked the door open. My girlfriend at the time is on the couch. And I go, honey, get out here. This guy knows who I am.
Oh, that's great.
And like a moron, I go, I live right here. And I'm telling him,
yeah.
This place is empty 27 days of the month. Come on, man. This place, nobody's ever here. Just come in. But anyway, so I'm walking around the corner. I get recognized by this fireman. And he goes, are you the guy who does the impression? I go, yeah. And he goes, oh, man, you want to come in? I go, yeah. And this becomes a regular thing every Sunday night before I would audition every Monday and Tuesday.
Right, right.
Every Sunday night, I'd come around and go, what's up, guys? And I would tell them jokes
yeah.
for like an hour, you know. And then September 11th happened on a Tuesday. And then the following Sunday, I came in for my next round of audition on Sunday night. And I thought, oh, man, it'll be good to see everybody. I walked around the corner, and there were candles and flowers
yeah.
Going in front of the firehouse. This is on 8th Avenue and 8th Avenue and 48th Street. The candles and flowers took up the first two lanes of traffic
yeah.
All the way out in the street. And there's framed photos of 16 of the 20 firemen from that department.
They died?
16.
Oh, my gosh.
That whole firehouse
yeah.
got wiped out.
Yeah.
And
so guys who you'd been conversing with and hanging
hang
with.
Hanging out with yeah. every week. And you'd mentioned about the stories about yeah. about the day and the short time afterwards. I moved into Manhattan about a month afterwards. And in my neighborhood on the Upper East Side, there was a laminated photo of a woman.
Yeah.
Attached to a tree with a information hasn't been seen since September 11th and a candle in front of the tree. And it was a candle in a glass container. That candle was lit throughout that entire winter until the following winter.
Wow.
And whoever that doorstop was in front of, whoever the guy was that was in that.
Would handle it, make sure that it was stayed lit?
Made sure it stayed lit.
It's amazing. And there's countless things like that when you would go up. So I remember going back, you know, so we were working down here. We were on air when it happened, you know, and we were reporting the whole thing. Then getting up and crossing the Gothel's Bridge and looking over and
well, yeah,
seeing.
You said you were in New York at
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, in New York at the time. And then, you know, Penn Station and all around you, you're right. You would see those posted everywhere in supermarkets.
Oh my God,
has not been seen. Has not been seen.
Yeah, Grand Central.
Yeah,
Grand Central had like banks and banks of set up billboards where everybody posted information about. About their loved ones, and it was it was just such a.
I remember the rubble burning and smoking for months on end, and you know, like the where the buildings went down, and that being this. When you would drive into New York and take the train in, and you would look on the right hand side of the train as you were going north on Amtrak, and those iconic towers weren't there anymore.
It was like
it was really sobering.
Yeah, like a funeral pyre, Nick, that would not go out.
Yeah.
Did anybody work in comedy?
I'm so glad you brought that up.
For a stretch after that?
When you talk about the smoke, there's a couple clubs that I worked at in Greenwich Village where there was smoke going through the neighborhood for a couple weeks.
Wow. Yeah.
That was coming through that neighborhood.
That's not that far.
It's not that far. And in fact, there's one road that you stand on, one comedy club, where you look straight down, you're looking right at the World Trade Center. And then if you turn around and look uptown, you're looking straight at the Empire State Building.
Mm-hmm.
And now this half of it's gone.
Right.
But there's smoke coming through. And people always thought, like, oh, it must have been tough to do comedy because of that. And this is the truth.
Yeah.
When you're on stage and there's smoke coming through that neighborhood from those buildings, you could not get a laugh unless you talked about what happened.
Hmm.
You had to talk about it. It's just like in anything else with comedy.
It's a release.
If you acknowledge what's going on in this room right now, it's like, you know, Steve will tell you that if you follow somebody who either crushes or bombs, you have to acknowledge it.
Right, right.
And that's the best way to... Like, I remember doing a show in Las Vegas once at the House of Blues with Norm MacDonald. And this MC walks up to me on the side of the stage and goes, hey, what's your name? And I go, it's Craig Gass. And he goes, what do you want me to say? And I go, hey, whatever. You could do, you know, Sex and the City or King of Queens, whatever.
Yeah.
And he goes, all right, cool. I'm nervous. And I go, yeah? It's a big crowd. He goes, yeah, man, it's my first time. And I go, it's your first time in front of a big crowd? And he goes, no, I've never done comedy. And I go,
oh, God.
Oh, boy.
How did you get on this show?
How did you get that?
He goes, oh, I work here. I'm a bartender. I've always wanted to be a comedian, and I'm a bartender here at the House of Blues.
Oh, my God.
And when I saw that Norm MacDonald was coming, they announced it like 6 months ago, and I campaigned, and all my friends that work here are like, you got to make Fred be the MC. Fred, you know. And
for Norm MacDonald.
For Norm MacDonald.
Yeah.
It's 1,800. It's sold out. 1,800 people.
Oh,
and he's like, yeah, man, I'm really nervous. And actually, a bunch of guys who work at the House of Blues took the night off to support me, and I went, and you haven't in the last 6 months since you got the gig, you haven't hit an open mic? And he goes, no, this is it. And I went,
oh my God,
well, good luck. And he walks out on stage and eats it so hard in front of 1,800 people that include 20 or 30 of his friends.
Yeah.
And at one point in the middle of complete silence, he makes the rookie mistake of saying, well, maybe you had to be there. And a guy in the upper row of the upper balcony goes, maybe you're not funny. And the place explodes with its first laugh.
Oh, my God.
And even Norm MacDonald, who's one of the nicest guys in the world, walks over. Or he loves to, like, rip on people. And he even Norm MacDonald walks up to me and goes, man, I feel bad for this guy. Hey, don't say anything. Yeah, I feel bad for this guy. And I go, all right. But and
you
I
had
like,
to.
Right. You had to. And I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
He said, all right, you guys ready for your next comedian? And I was like, oh, please, let's go. Please welcome King of Queens, Sex and the City, Craig Gass. And I walked out on stage, grabbed the mic, and just went, thank you. Looked in the crowd and went, that's it. I'm not going to be
No, no, no. That's what I needed. It. Yeah.
And it's the same thing. After September 11th,
You're
on stage. You're not getting any laughs if you're talking about, like, hey, my girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know.
You ever try to hail a cab?
Yeah. And you know who was destroying back then? I saw a benefit show at Carnegie Hall. The lineup was Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Bill Cosby, who wasn't a rapist yet.
Yeah.
Bob
was, but no one knew.
Was, but yeah. He was probably raping somebody at night.
Yeah.
Okay. So he probably raped Chris Rock and Jerry Seinfeld at night.
Right.
Bob Newhart.
Wow.
Will Ferrell. Jerry Seinfeld, Bill Cosby, Chris Rock, Bob Newhart, Will Ferrell is the host. Colin Quinn opens the show. Colin Quinn steals the show.
Yeah.
Because he talks about September 11th. He walks out and said, you ever have one of those guys who keeps putting themselves in the middle of September 11th and they had nothing to do with it?
Right.
These guys would be like, you know, if I was on the N train that morning, I wouldn't even be here. Really? Do you ever take the N train? Nope. But if I did that day,
yes.
I wouldn't be here. And and he destroyed because he acknowledged it. And the fact that I was just sitting in my car and listening to the show, and I was really moved by the fact that you did that because that you know,
it's just a real thing, honestly.
It was
Craig, to think about it now and to think about that time. And we make the acknowledgement for December 7th for Pearl Harbor, the acknowledgement of that as well as and Normandy, all these things that are iconic moments in history. You cannot cast them into the ether and not acknowledge them because, and especially in this case, it was such a. Preston talked about having vertigo earlier on in the show. There was a collective sense of vertigo, like, what's happening? And all the norms that we held.
We were working at the time. Yeah. We were on the air. We had live mics, and we're like, we're going to take a break. There's something going on. We'll be right back, and we'll tell you about it. We came back, and we're like, everybody, listen, because this is real. Mm. And we spent the next several hours doing a very surreal radio show. So everybody were, you know, I mean, there were real heroes who were doing the real nitty-gritty and all that, and everybody had played their own little part. Some people were just observers. We were relayers of information, which was a really weird position for us to be because we're having fun on the radio.
Yeah,
that's what
it's
we do,
a fun,
you know?
Show.
We had just talked about what I should call my mother-in-law. The phone just hung up.
That was our segment.
And we just talked to her on air, and then the intern came in with the piece of paper, handed it to Preston. Boom.
I'm in a rare position, by the way, right now, where I could actually reach people from that following weekend. There was a lot of media that weekend. I was supposed to perform on September 14th and 15th of that weekend. I was supposed to perform at the theater at Madison Square Garden with Robert Schimmel and Bobby Slayton.
Bobby Slayton, listen. Like, Bobby, you want to talk like Bobby Slayton? You got to talk like this. Just learn a couple words at a time. You got to do it.
Yeah. But the show got canceled. Both of the shows got canceled. And Stuttering John was doing a show down the road here in Atlantic City.
From Howard Show, yeah.
From Howard Show. And Stuttering John said, hey, can you, since your show is not happening, my show is still happening.
Right.
It's turned into a benefit show for first responders. Will you come down? And I said, I would love to. So I came down and did it, and I performed at what turned into a benefit show. They had water jugs out. Like the at work water jugs that people put coins in. And they said, we're raising money. You can make donations. People filled those water jugs with $100 bills. There was tens of thousands of dollars in each one of these water jugs.
It's crazy.
I go back into the dressing room after this show, and I'm hammered when someone says, hey, Donald's here. And I said, who's Donald? They said, Donald Trump's here. And I said, oh, okay. And Donald Trump walks in the room to say hello to all the comedians. And there's a bunch of members of the press. I am begging for anyone who was there that night to please contact me and come to the shows this week at Howie Mandel's and at the New Hard Rock. Because what happened was something that was so easy to research on the internet, and it got scrubbed. You can't find a single photo. And there were hundreds of pictures of this on the internet at one time. So Donald Trump walks in, and the guys in the press say, hey, Donald, you want to take a picture with the comedians who raised all the money tonight? And he goes, sure. And he walks over and starts saying hi. And then someone says, hey, this is the new guy. This is Craig Gass. And I go, hey, Donald. And I'm hammered.
Yeah.
And someone goes, hey, why don't we give – hey, Don, you want to get him to hold the bottle jugs, the water jugs? Let Donald – and now they've handed these two massive water jugs full of cash to Donald, which kind of – paralyzes him a little bit. It's a very awkward pose, and he can't move. And he's holding tens of thousands of dollars. And I'm looking at him, and I go, hey, I got a picture. How about one of me on my knees for the money? And I got down in front of Donald, and I grabbed his hips and just started.
Oh, my God.
I just started, you know, pantomiming.
Fellatio.
Oh. And Donald can't move. And he's standing there like, hey. And there were hundreds of pictures. You can hear, like, everyone just started laughing. And you could.
You need that picture.
All you had to do was Google Craig Gass, Donald Trump, and you could find hundreds of images. And now it's been scrubbed from the internet. And all those members of the media were right here.
Sure. Yeah.
They were right here and in Atlantic City. Please contact me.
Hey, just to have that over your fireplace. It'd be pretty cool.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a nice,
the greatest. Cool. And not even mention it when people come into the house.
Yeah.
That's like, and this is unrelated.
Like at the Addams Family house, the foot sticking out of the Marlin.
This is unrelated, but it's just awkward moment that was captured and then the guy decided to frame it. I might have told you this story a couple years ago. A friend of mine is a guitar tech for the Eagles, and Don Henley apparently is the biggest Beach Boys fan in the world.
Okay, I don't remember this story. All right.
He finds out that Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys is doing an art exhibit. And
the legendary, the genius of geniuses.
The genius of geniuses.
Brian Wilson.
Don Henley is such a fan that the first album he ever purchased was Pet Sounds from the Beach Boys. So Don Henley grabs that album that changed his life, and he goes to the art exhibit, and he brings my buddy, who's his guitar tech, and my buddy witnesses this exchange, tells me, I honestly don't believe him when he tells me.
Right.
And then I run into a friend of mine, Todd Zuckerman, who's a drummer, plays with Styx now. And someone mentioned, hey, you know, Todd used to play with Brian Wilson. And I go, you play with Brian Wilson? And he said, yeah. And I go, dude, I just heard a story about Don Henley and Brian Wilson. He goes, about the autograph? Yep. He goes, it's true. He goes, I've actually seen the autograph.
All right, let us hear it.
Oh, my God. Don Henley shows up at this art exhibit. And if you don't know anything about Brian Wilson, he is off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's off. He's a little weird.
He's hearing a different drummer.
He's definitely walking to a different beat.
Yeah.
Don Henley walks in, Mr. Cool, and says, Brian, Don Henley, Eagles. And he goes, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. Hi, how you doing? And Don is trying to have a normal human interaction. It's not going anywhere. So Don finally gives up and he goes, hey, do you mind? This is the first album I ever purchased. Do you mind signing? Sure. Yeah, sure. You got something I can sign? And he goes, yeah. And he gives him a Sharpie. Brian Wilson grabs the Sharpie, looks at the album, looks at Don Henley, and then writes, to Don, and then looks back at Don Henley. Thank you for all the great music. And then he slows down, looks at Don, and scratches off the word great and writes, good. And then signs his name. I don't know if you're. I mean, you're good. You're good. You're not a Beach Boy. You're not a Beach Boy. I'm going to call you good. And he wasn't trying to be a dick.
Yeah,
he was just being honest.
He was just being brutally honest.
So the story, the story was vetted and it's validated.
And
that's because that's almost too good.
It's almost too good. Yeah. And my friend Todd Zuckerman said, not only is it true, Don Henley thought it was so funny that he framed it.
I believe it.
Which you were saying, frame it and just put it in a spot and don't talk about it. He has it framed in his house, I guess in his living room, the autograph saying, to Don, thank you for all the scratch, scratch, scratch. Good.
That's just awesome.
Yeah, good music. And Don Henley had enough of a sense of humor of himself to say, like, all right, I'm keeping this. But
nice.
This week I'm really excited because many years of it's been a long time since I've done shows in Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a great venue. Just a couple of weeks, since it started. So people are really digging it and having a good reaction. It also gives you... You know, it's another option. People head down to AC all the time.
I had a few texts coming in during your conversation of people saying what a great place it is, and they were there just not too long
ago.
Love the venue, so it should be pretty awesome.
Yeah, and again, if you listen to this station, meaning that you listen to this music, tonight's the night you want to be at my show.
Okay.
Tonight, that's all I'm going to say.
You mentioned Corey Taylor. We don't know.
Well, Corey and I coincidentally happen to have a little war going on Instagram, a playful war where we're doing impressions of each other.
All right.
But I'm just saying that, tonight's going to be a fun night, and I'm expecting a lot of friends to show up. So
standing.
Atlantic City.
Tickets are only $20, man. It's Howie Mandel's Comedy Club, and Kyle is playing today through Thursday.
Craig.
Kyle, you told him.
Listen, I told him before I go.
No. Kyle's going to be there too. Kyle, Jack Black's going to be there.
I told Craig, I'm like, do people ever call you Kyle? Because I call you Kyle from time to time.
By the way, I never even got into the point of the Gilbert Gottfried joke is that Lars Ulrich left me a message going, boop. Hey, man, it's Lars. How do you get two? I can't even say it tonight.
Yeah, he ruined
the joke.
Can you do it in our Instagram story after the interview?
He wants to say.
I have to say this. Trying to put asses in the seats. And here's the thing: if I did it on the Instagram story, completely out of context, it's so offensive that you're like
it would live on, and people would think you were a pedophile.
No, but it's not a pedophile joke. It's just the most graphic. It's a doozy. And it's hands down to this day the most offensive joke I've ever heard in my life. And he got a standing ovation for it. So.
Nice. All right. Well, Craig, as I was saying, is going to be at Howie Mandel's Comedy Club. $20.
Yeah.
And make sure that you go check him out and get the tickets through Ticketmaster.com. Dude, it's always great to have you here.
Always great to
Thanks
be here,
for
man.
Stopping
I,
in.
I always end up going sideways and talking about everything.
We love that.
I talk about September 11th for 10 minutes, and I'm like, I'm usually funny.
There are good stories that surround it, man. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
Give some love. Craig Gass, guys. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Here we go. Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on?
Join Jackie Bam Bam and the MM Army Wednesday at the Ozzy Osbourne Concert at BB&T Pavilion. Part of WMMR summer concert coverage, sponsored by University of Maryland University College, State University Global Campus. Thursday from 7 to 9, the Bud Light Philly Tour takes over the Brick Wall Tavern, 1213 Sansom Street in Center City. Catch the big game, win Eagles tickets, and an autographed helmet courtesy of Bud Light. Bud Light Philly special t-shirts, and meet Marissa Magnata from MMR's Preston and Steve Show. Visit WMMR.com/Philly to see when the Bud Light Philly Tour is coming to your neighborhood. MMR's big friggin' deal. Get a ticket to Grim Philly's Haunted Pub Crawl History Tour for just $30. That's half off. Enjoy a three-hour tour around Philly's most haunted historic landmarks and taverns, plus light snacks and two complimentary adult beverages. Available through Sunday at WMMR.com while supplies last.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
We should get into the Bizarre File, part two. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
I know there are many people who dislike their boss, but this guy took it to another level. Police arrested a man in Seminole County, Florida, for allegedly trying to kill his boss two hours after he was fired. He'd only been working there for about 4 days.
It's the greatest job I ever had!
The manager told police that...
I put my life into this place!
That Dewan Lewis chased him from Benatta Aluminum Products and started firing into his car.
Jesus.
A different manager said Lewis had only been working there Thursday and was fired on Sunday morning for throwing supplies and tools on the ground.
I gave my life to... what is it again?
It's Benatta Aluminum Products.
Yeah, I gave my life to it!
Lewis was fired and then waited for his district supervisor outside for 2 hours. Investigators said Lewis then chased the manager and his girlfriend for a mile and a half.
Wow.
The girlfriend told police that she heard about 5 shots. The arrest report states that bullet holes were found in the rear bumper, trunk door, and right rear tire of the manager's car.
He later explained the reasoning, Preston. Apparently, this business had a gum dispenser that dispensed Mentos gum.
Oh,
and
okay.
He could not bear to not be near it. Just as we had for quite a while.
The manager and his girlfriend were not hurt. Lewis was later arrested at his home.
He might have some mental issues.
Yeah. New York State police say a toddler showed a trooper a bag of marijuana during a traffic stop, resulting in the arrest of the child's mother and the man she was riding with.
You little rapscallion.
Yeah, police say two troopers stopped a car Thursday outside of Albany, and they found the butt ends of marijuana cigarettes in the ashtray and a three-year-old girl who wasn't in a child's car seat. Police say that while one of the troopers questioned the driver, the girl reached under the seat and then pulled out and showed the other trooper a bag of marijuana and a pipe.
Oh, man.
The 26-year-old man driving the car and the girl's 33-year-old mother were charged with child endangerment. The girl's been turned over to relatives and Child Protective Services has been notified.
So it's illegal to let your kid play around in the car with bags of pot?
Either that or they were just supposed to be in a car seat. I'm not sure which one. But anyhow. A bear in California was afraid and ran off after an electric doormat at the house he was snooping around at shocked him. The security cameras at the house caught the animal rushing away from the scene.
What the hell was that?
The Bear League has been...
The Bear League?
Yeah. The Bear League has been giving out the mats to owners of homes that have had previous bear break-ins.
Ah, that's kind of smart.
The group website says too many... The website says
it's the Bear League.
That too many bears now believe that they can roam neighborhoods and even come into houses, as this is what they've been told by humans, reacting inappropriately during bear encounters.
I'm gonna just go into the back door.
Maybe they didn't think about that.
Damn it, I didn't think about that.
Which often results in the death of a bear. So they're handing out. I didn't even know they made mats that will shock people. I mean, a person can get shocked by that.
It's
too.
Absolutely true.
I mean, yes. I understand if you're having a bear problem, you want to put those out, but I didn't know things like that existed. Interesting. And we only have time for one more story.
What?
Oh my God.
One more story. A cancer patient who lost most of his penis to a flesh-eating superbug after routine surgery has won a six-figure payout. Andrew Lane contracted... I'd won at least seven figures
seven
if I
figures.
Lost
for losing your penis?
Andrew Lane contracted the potentially fatal infection necrotizing fasciitis after an operation to remove his prostate gland in March of 2013.
I had that.
Yeah, you did.
And I still had my penis.
You got out easy. His bowel was punctured during the procedure, but staff only noticed the injury 6 days later. Lane was rushed to a theater, but the damage caused by the infection was so severe that he was left with just an inch and a half of his penis.
Why did they take him to the theater?
It was an operating theater.
Oh.
His lawyer said
you're
that...
You fan of Godsmack?
Southend University Hospital Trust paid him an undisclosed sum to settle the case in July. They thought maybe just Godsmack tickets would settle it, but apparently that's not the case.
That's wow. Just horrible.
Inch and a half. That sucks. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file. We have to take another break. Sorry about this. I have the last few passes for White Boy Rick. It's a movie screening starring Matthew McConaughey that we have tonight at the UA King of Prussia. You want to go? I'll take three callers at 215-263-WMMR. Remember, it's tonight, 7 o'clock. You need to be there by 6:30, and we'll set you up with that. And it doesn't open in theaters till Friday. Back in just a moment.
Now, more with Preston and Steve. Preston and Steve. On 93.3 WMMR.
Weren't we just talking about Godsmack?
Gorilla proof.
Yeah, gorilla proof. Bulletproof on 93.3 WMMR. But if you want to sing gorilla proof like we do in the studio, you certainly can. I don't know why. It just kind of... It sort of fits.
I think so.
But it's just fun.
And it's probably easier to pull that off.
Do you remember... You ever heard of bear suits before?
Yes.
There are people that make these Iron Man type outfits
that are supposed to protect you from a bear attack.
Right, and when I think of a gorilla proof, I think of that, like somebody wearing a bear suit.
Sure,
see, this bear suit is totally gorilla proof too.
Yeah,
so you know,
it's
you
like could just go a benefit.
You could go out into the jungle and not have to worry about a silverback attacking you because it would be futile for them to do that.
Well, you know, maybe the gorilla could do a little bit. Well, I don't know.
Than a bear? I don't weigh as much as a bear.
In those battle shows where they had against,
alligators against bears.
Did they ever pair a gorilla and a bear? I think a bear would win.
We talked about it on the air. Somebody brought it up. Who would win in a grizzly versus a...
Yeah.
Versus
a gorilla.
A grizzly would win.
They just outweigh him.
Are you sure?
So
the
much.
Argument is opposable thumbs. Like, what if the gorilla was able to, like, grab a hold?
Yeah, but it's also 800 pounds versus 1,500 pounds as well. So
also the claws. The claws on a bear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys want to break off into discussion groups and debate this? And
we have it up here. The outcome either way is still the same. Bear wins due to size, strength, and claws.
Where's our authority on this? Kathy isn't even in the
studio. She's actually doing some bear research right now.
Where are you?
I saw in the back was a Bunsen burner and some bear pits.
Who would win, Kathy?
Gorillas.
A gorilla or a bear?
A gorilla?
Gorillas?
Oh, God almighty.
She has what? She's talking about.
I've lost all respect for her.
That was the direction I got from Marissa when I walked in.
say gorillas.
She
was setting you up.
Say gorillas. We're going to do today's lesson question, and today we are going to give away a pair of sweet tickets and a parking pass to join Jackie Bam Bam and Nick McElwain at the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoff race at Dover International Speedway, and that's coming up on October 7th. So the question that I have for you this morning Oh, wow. We got a bunch of good ones here. How about this? The lady who called Casey a fire plug drove what kind of car? Wow. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know this. The lady who called Casey a fire plug drove what kind of car? 215-263-WMMR. You don't remember?
Nope.
I do.
No, I don't either.
All right, call now if you know and you get through and you're the designated caller to do so. You're going to win. We're going to do the trash while we're waiting for your call.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, what's going on this morning in the trash?
Well, rapper Young Thug has yet another warrant out for his arrest in Georgia for this a different one for one of the 8 felony charges he's currently facing. Young Thug is not worried, saying that his lawyer has assured him that the most he could end up doing is 500 years.
Oh.
Hulk Hogan announcing he's bringing back Kevin Nash and Scott Hall for one of the greatest wrestling factions of all time, the original NWO. Hulk admits that while NWO originally stood for New World Order, it now stands for Needs Walkers Outside.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Ryan Lochte was seen sweating profusely during his wedding in Palm Springs on Sunday, but that's because the temperature was 108 degrees. Lochte told reporters, quote, "The sun made it my hiney rain." And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's see if somebody knows. It's a tough one this morning, but the lady who called Casey a little fire plug was driving what kind of a car? 215-263-WMMR is the number. I will go to David.
Yes. Hi,
David, good morning. How you doing?
Hi.
So what kind of a car was the fire plug lady driving?
A Fiesta or Festiva?
No.
No.
Dave! Sorry, Dave. Not even close. I will go next to John. Hey, John, good morning.
How you doing there?
Good. John, what kind of car did the lady who called Casey a fire plug drive?
A Blue
Moon. Oh, wait. Say that again?
Gremlin.
A Gremlin, yes. Hang on there, Johnny boy. We got you some goodies, a pair of sweet tickets, and a parking pass to join Jackie Bam Bam and Nick McWayne at the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoff race, Dover International Speedway, October 7th. And NASCAR returns to Dover October 5th through the 7th. The tickets start at $50. And kids' tickets are just $10. You can get yours at DoverSpeedway.com. Time to get to the music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
You know, there's some official looking guests right outside our door there, right as you were playing that.
Of course,
wondering what they're thinking.
Of course.
Brought to you by the Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University, offering quality care for your hearing and balance needs. Their expert audiologist will help you hear your best. Info at salusuhealth.com/PEI. I need to go see them. We will start. I got a number of things. Let's start local. The $56 million renovation of the Met in Philadelphia, which occupies an entire city block at Broad and Poplar, is nearly complete, and the 3,500-capacity venue, which was built in 1908 and once the largest theater of its kind in the world, is scheduled to open in December. They had an official opening up party yesterday.
We couldn't have made it. It was just almost right after the show, but I am really excited to see what this place looks like.
So the complete schedule for the Met has been announced. Some more dates in December and January expected, but I'm going to throw a few highlights out there. The Met is going to be hosting on December 3rd Bob Dylan. And that will be the opening event for
that
the
venue. That is big. Very big, yes.
December 12th will be Weezer. December 14th, Ween will be performing.
Push the Little Daisies.
That's correct. December 18th, Lindsey Sterling. She's a violinist who played with Evanescence. Kurt Vile and the Violators on the 29th.
Oh, no, that's a Philly guy, Kurt Vile.
December 30th through the 31st will be John Oliver in town.
Nice.
Doing a show. And we had already mentioned this, January 19th. The Impractical Jokers are going to be coming in for a show.
Is this a picture of the setup?
Yeah.
That is freaking awesome.
You have Jim Gaffigan on February 9th and Brian Regan April 27th. So these are just a few of the highlighted performances that have been announced. So more details coming on the Met, but it's great to have a new venue of that size in town. That means more events, more shows, and more guests on our show. It's great.
Hamina? Hamina.
Yep, digging it. 3 Days Grace has landed its 14th number one single on Billboard's mainstream rock songs chart with Infrared, the latest track from the band's Outsider LP.
Wow.
And that breaks the record held by Van Halen for 2 decades of topping the Billboard survey. Infrared is also 3 Days Grace 15th chart topper at Active Radio, expanding that record, or the record that band already holds. Drummer Neil Sanderson said, "If you have told me when we were 14 and making noise in our garage that someday we'd set the record for most number one song rock songs in America, I would have called you bat-ass crazy. Accomplishments like this are never done individually. We want to thank our family who supported us from day one, rock radio who get our music to the masses, our label and friends in the industry for believing in the band, and most importantly, all our loyal fans on this amazing journey with us. Outsider is 3 Days Grace 6th full-length studio effort, which came out this past March.
So, that is nothing to sneeze at.
No, it's pretty awesome for them. Slash was asked in a new interview with Yahoo Music if the music made by Guns N' Roses has aged well in the era of the Me Too movement. Well, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame guitarist replied, "I've never really thought of that. It's never crossed my mind. I mean, I think when the Me Too thing really blew up, the thought crossed my mind crossed my mind of a bunch of musicians who might be implicated. But for the most part, as far as all the ones I know, it wasn't like that." He said, "We didn't have that particular predatory relationship with girls. It was a lot more the other way around in some cases. Anyway, so some of the songs and all that were sort of sexist in their own way, but not to be taken that seriously. I don't think that they were malicious or anything." While Slash has said recently the Me Too movement is definitely justified, said it's actually way overdue. He also noted the problem is that you could be falsely accused of something, but it almost doesn't matter. It's out there. Even if you were to get your name cleared, the damage is already done, and that's pretty sad. While women, drugs, and alcohol used to be major components of life for Slash and the other members of Guns N' Roses, he said a while back that the lifestyle eventually just kind of grew stale. He said it was a pretty hard, fast-paced life that we've all been through. And there's certain aspects of it that just get a little boring, a little tedious.
Well, for Axl, what got him off the drugs was discovering cheesecake.
Yeah. Some of the kind of circles that you surround yourself in to be able to sort of keep your high going or whatever, it just gets old after a while, he said. You know, the underlying thing that's always been sort of maintained was just as long as you can play. And it's just, he said, everything sort of fell by the wayside. So they just got kind of tired of it over
sort
the
of
years.
Sort of what McCartney was quoted as saying recently.
Yeah.
It runs its course.
I don't find this stuff amusing anymore, as I've used the phrase.
I had some cheesesteak over the weekend. Oh, no, cheesecake.
Cheesecake.
Cheesecake. At a place in Skipback Village, Preston.
Yeah.
It's a little cafe.
Yeah, that little French place.
Yeah.
Is it not phenomenal?
Yeah, it's these two German ladies work there. Yeah, and Steve, I'm going to have to go
Helga
back.
Helga and Brunhilde.
Might as well be.
Yeah.
I'll bring some in.
Please.
It may be.
Did it weigh about 5 pounds?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It might be the best I've ever had.
Yeah, thank you. I only went there once, and I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So.
So. Top-notch cheesecake.
Top-notch cheesecake.
You know what? That's good if you're training.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I always make that mistake. I always say cheesesteak instead of cheesecake.
I hate that.
And then finally, Bruce Springsteen.
Why, dear God? Why do I do that?
I say, you know how many times I've ordered a tuna hoagie when I meant to order a turkey hoagie?
No. Really?
And Preston calls Craig Gass Kyle Gass.
Yeah, it happens. Bruce Springsteen has released his latest archival concert, Chicago, September 30th, 1999, marking the boss's second dive into the tapes of the E Street Band's 1999-2000 reunion tour. Highlights on the set include the tracks, the standout tracks, Take 'Em As They Come, the Born in the USA era B-side, Janie, Don't Lose Your Heart, along with the rarely performed New York City Serenade. Last October, Bruce had issued the first archival set from the reunion tour, Madison Square Garden, New York, 7/01/2000, which chronicled the 133rd and final show of the Trek. So there's a little more surfacing from that. I did see that tour.
How was it?
The only time I saw Bruce, and it was fantastic. So it's going to be good stuff. And that is what I have in music news for you. Let's take one more quick break. Come back in just a second. Get ready for wrap-ups and, of course, our letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in
Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
You have got to hand it to Chris Jericho and his band Fozzy. They do know how to rock, man.
Yeah.
It's called Burn Me Out on 93.3 WMMR. I like it. 10:27 with the Preston and Steve Show. It is Tuesday that we're working our way through, and the weather's
sucks.
It's not that great. Yeah, we might have some scattered thunderstorms today. High 83. Same thing tomorrow. I mean, exact same thing.
But at least we're not getting hit with a straight-on hurricane.
Have you seen the views from space?
It's amazing.
Of what that part of the world looks like?
Yes.
Three hurricanes churning out there, and it looks... what's a good word?
Apocalyptic?
It looks chaotic.
Yes.
It looks absolutely chaotic.
Scary.
Yeah, so...
The cone, they're saying, of Florence is... the speed within that is 140 miles an hour.
Wow.
Which is pretty heavy duty.
And I was reading, I printed up the story, I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing yet, but the main interstate that goes into Charlotte, they're getting ready to reverse the lanes that come in so everybody can take...
to go out?
Everybody can leave. It's going to be one way on the interstates.
If you just want to go down and watch?
You know, yes. You're going to have to take surface streets.
Hey, listen, there'll be some media heading in.
Oh, of course there will. Yeah, there's going to be, you know, I wonder if I might be one of those guys. Yeah. Stand outside with the microphone. Yeah.
For like half hour.
This is what it looks like.
I could do it for a little bit. It's the length of time that they have to put in to be in those places. That's I think I'd get pretty tired of it pretty fast.
Oh, yeah, because you're going to be there for days.
Yeah.
For sure, before you can get out. That's the thing. As long as you got enough supplies and stuff, you'll be pretty bored for a while.
Yeah.
But you can live through that if you're in the right
type. Until you get killed.
Well, if you're in the right type of shelter, you'll be fine if you're in a big, sturdy building. But you're just going to be bored because there's going to be no electricity. There's going to be no way to get in or out. And if you have supplies, you just got to kind of sit.
That's why they end up having so much sex, a lot of the news crews.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to take, like, magazines, like porn magazines with you because you will have no internet connection.
I'm out at the beach. I'm just pleasuring myself a lot. Lost power about 7:30 in the morning, and I've been massaging myself for about 5 hours now.
It's tough, job, yeah. Man. Yeah, it's but tough. Somebody would have to do it anyway. Yes, Kathy.
No, I had a comment, but
and you've I'm rescinded. Your
you were going to talk about the self pleasuring thing.
So I can get out of here.
Would you be a reporter doing something like that?
Well, some people don't have a choice. They're sent in.
They're signed.
A lot of people love it. I mean, this is part of, you know, being a reporter and being out in the field. And I actually talked to a friend of mine who used to be a reporter, since changed her career. But she said when she knew it was time to change her career, she was out in the middle of a hurricane. And she was like, I'm done with this. Like, I don't want to do it anymore. I don't love it anymore.
Do you know what I would love to do?
Like that reporter that was in the middle of a report and swallows a bug. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Man, backwoods. Mother half a
country ass.
Goddamn stink.
I love that
He was all buttoned up, speaking properly.
We're at the ranch where the goddamn cracker ass bug.
I love it.
It's just...
you were watching the video of that. It's one of the best... fails of all time.
I would love to do the, and I know it sounds weird, but to fly into the eye of a hurricane in one of those.
Yeah.
Well, Air Force, Belaris did it, right?
He did. Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back.
We can get him on if you guys want.
A weather buddy.
I flew into one. It was exciting.
It was windy.
Hey, today, I need to remind you, today is Tuesday, so we are doing Tattoos Day. And we have a very lovely young lady named Morgan who is here. And hello to you, Morgan.
Hi.
Get close to that microphone.
Hi.
There you go. How you doing?
Good.
She's a little nervous about going on the air. And, of course, we have Troy this morning from Philadelphia Eddies. Tattoo artist. Good to see you, sir.
Thank you.
And first of all, I got to thank Morgan because she brought us cupcakes. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, the peanut butter icing. Did you make that? Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal. It's fantastic.
It's
homemade, all this stuff.
Wonderful. And you took some culinary classes in high school?
Yes.
All right. So your tattoo reflects that as well. Yes. What did you get?
I got a whisk and a rolling pin with some watercolor and
gray, black and gray.
Okay, so a whisk and a rolling pin. And as far as your baking goes, you just do it for fun, for friends, for work, or what?
Anybody that wants one.
Okay.
Really? So your friends must be hitting you up all the time for cupcakes and stuff like that.
Yeah, I just made a cake for my brother, and it was like ginormous.
Yeah.
Well, I approve, and it's very, very moist. Moist cake.
The actual cake is very moist.
Yes. Where are you from?
Is your cake very moist?
Abington.
You're from where?
Abington.
Abington. And what do you do if you're not a baker? What do you do for a living?
I work at Glenside Lawn and Garden. My uncle, who got married on the show, is my boss.
Really?
Wait, was that
the wedding in a day?
Oh, no, that's your uncle? Oh. Wow.
Is he still married?
He is still married.
All right. Success.
Man, I was crossing my fingers on that one.
Me too. We don't do too many follow-ups on the stories of people in their lives.
On purpose.
But he wanted to come, but we would have had to close work.
So. Okay. Well, that's cool. We're happy for him. Yeah. Very happy. That was a lot of fun that morning.
That was so much fun.
Nice. Were you a part of it?
I was here, but I didn't know you guys as well because I was like nocturnal. I worked at a restaurant.
Yeah.
But now I listen every day, so I wish I would have known you back then.
Well, now you're here. Yeah.
And now you're permanently attached to us with your Preston and Steve tattoo. Yes. Nice. Anybody you want to say hello to while you're here?
My mom. I think she's listening. And my son, who's not listening, but...
How old?
He'll be 2 in December.
Okay, so he's probably not listening.
No, he's not listening.
And does his mom approve of the tattoo, or did she give you any crap?
Oh, my mom loved it.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Excellent. That's cool.
Excellent. Troy, everything good in your world?
Yeah, awesome.
Hey, by the way, I would imagine that, I mean, it's not
that her. Beer gets in your soup.
Well, yeah, look at the size of the thing. No, that that people get a lot, it's not her profession, but it is her passion. But do people get a lot of profession tattoos coming in and get
definitely.
Something?
Yeah, all the time.
I would have to say that's a big part of what people come in and get.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What's to that point, what's the number one genre of tattoo that you do?
You're to take a guess.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's all over the place. I
mean, okay.
Comic book, movie stuff, popular culture stuff.
A lot of pop culture stuff.
You know,
yeah.
People, places, and things.
Cool.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. A lot of nouns.
Yeah, a lot of nouns.
Yeah.
A lot of adjectives. Like Mad Libs.
Yeah.
A lot of Charlie Rose Forever.
Cool. If people want to get in touch with Troy, he's absolutely one of the best in the area. You can do it through PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com, and they are located on South 4th Street. And we appreciate you coming in here like you do all the time, man.
Thanks.
I appreciate it. All right, so thank you, Morgan.
Thank you.
And we're happy that you got your tattoo. Let's hear it from Morgan.
Yay!
Tattoos Day taking place on the Preston and Steve Show. We need to have you guys move out the way because we have a VIP who is in the studio and coming over to this area.
What an honor.
Right, he's, wow, it's amazing. No, it's actual normal hours that he gets to live a little bit. Brent Porsche.
Good morning.
Is here. Good to see you,
sir. Where the hell are the cupcakes at?
They're out in the green room.
They're in the green room.
I didn't see them.
And I'm not big on icing because it's usually way too sweet for me.
Yeah.
You're going to love it.
Awesome.
And we got a whole
Save
bunch
me
of
one.
Them. So enjoy. All enjoy. Right. What's happening? Wait, we need to do the letter.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, Preston and Steve show brought to you today by the letter.
By the letter O, as in O face.
O, O, O. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, right.
O.
All right, so you got 2. We need 5. We'll get that last one on Friday. 4-pack of tickets, by the way, for the MMA Pro League at Hard Rock Casino in Atlantic City this Saturday, plus 2 rooms, 4 food vouchers, a meet and greet with pictures in the cage as well. And you can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com, by the way.
That's a cool prize. That's a really cool
amazingly
prize.
Amazingly cool.
Especially getting in the ring like that, man.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And 2 rooms at the hotel. It's awesome. And it's this Saturday. What's on the program today, man?
We have a jam-packed show today. So Workforce Blocks, it's the first of 2 nights with Elton John at the Big Joint. So we'll do a Workforce Block of him. Linkin Park and Volbeat will round out the Workforce Blocks. Now, as far as prizes today, I have the March to Metallica prize pack, which gets you the Ride the Lightning vinyl, which will qualify you to meet the band, plus get that really cool Orion cooler. I have Bob Dylan tickets for the Met. You were talking about that a little bit ago during music news. And I also have Oktoberfest passes for Xfinity Live and a whole bunch of double shots today for Double Shot Tuesday.
That is going to be fun. Thank you, sir. Let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin' tomorrow on our program. Well, it's the return of beautiful Alex Hawley on Fox Good Day. So we'll get to... she's been on
Vocal
Rest. So... We will talk to her tomorrow morning. I'm sure we'll have many other things, lots of stuff to give away. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
This is Big Al from Ben Salem. I hate my 2000 Malibu, but I love WMMR. You just played Machine Head from Bush. I cranked my radio up, and then you played the Foo Fighters. My radio wouldn't go any louder.
Next message.
Hey, I just want to give a shout out to my mom. I know I'm moving out, and I know it's sad. It's hard. Christmas is going to suck this year, but I love you, and this is going to be awesome. You get to see the house, and I get to do all the things. Love you, Mom.
Next message.
Yes, hi. I work my morning around trying to listen to your bizarre files, but today I missed it because you guys didn't decide to play it at 8 o'clock in the f***ing morning.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.